Blog Talk Radio.
I am Christopher Columbus. Just call me Chris. I am he who did miss the land, India. I thought I'd discover that which was never. How clever of me to see the land beyond. I came to tame and claim in the name of Spain. I am Chris. Don't diss my history. I inspired Hawkins, Livingston, Mussolini, Botha, Bush. I exterminated, perpetuated hatred against red men, yellow men. With black men I make no friend. I attacked Arawak. Cut off their head, wrote instead that the Caribs ate them like bread. I never told you this before, but my chief navigator was a Moor. You know the Moors, they discovered Spain, those blacks who came from the African terrain. The idea that the world was round, I got from these same blacks in some little Spanish town. Now you may ask, what was blacks doing there? But they ruled us for over 700 years. They made a great mistake then. Instead of enslaving us, they made us their friends. Some survived, stayed alive, fought the invasion, European division, English aggression, the fight between Europe and European expansion. I wrote your history for you. Did not tell you true. Not all black men came as slaves. Listen. You will know the truth in the waves that brought the ships. Lips lie to keep intact oppression of black skin. A sin, a myth. I am Chris. The church perched on the opportunity to spread the religion of the dead. True misconception, the assumption that this world was new. The wind blew us to save the earth from beasts like men. Friend, I am not. Blot out the spot who claim they are men like us. I am Christopher Columbus. I gave Europe power over all the earth. 500 years of your blood, sweat, and tears. Now you celebrate. Recreate your death. Let the glasses touch with the blood of your fathers and mothers. Give a toast. Host my arrival. You're dying. My survival. The land is still mine. The Pope is still the divine. Yes. Drink your own blood, call it wine. Nothing in the pages of my history will blot out your misery. You shall celebrate my victory. Your children, praise me. I am their only history. I am Christopher Columbus. I died, but you made me live. Give me the sea once more. Let me discover you again. The stain, my father's son's rule. Fool, you celebrate my coming. I will not go, not from your mind. Restore me for all to see. Keepers of life, shepherds of my people, lead them to the altar of life. Your ancestors' cries will not be heard. Word after word, pages of history written, the victims are once more beaten. 1492, to you, the beginning of Western world democracy. 1492, to me, the beginning of white supremacy.
So, it's a Sarah B production, eh? Yeah. So, a tropical storm, yeah. We going through all, yeah. Girl, if you want to know me better, just call my name. I be standing right here and the girls them lay. And writing my name on the wall of fame. No make no complaint, it's the one thing think I'll leave there.
Oh.
down well and the next girl a mass out. When the towel a start back out, girl best with them and pack out them things and walk out. Hot girl a drop down and a faint and a pass out. Well and a minute let me get me business start out. My fans them love me from the first day me start out. People a shout out me name from all out. From the journey to Babylon to Manna Park Road. Boy a try look me girl and sign in land out. And I call out me name but me a feel laugh out. Them say them to pull look up with them tap out.
Everybody talking about you. Yeah. You got what it takes, baby. Sweeter than a candy bar, baby. All the tips and notes. Everybody talking about you, baby. You got what it takes, baby. Stay a little while with me, baby. All the tips and notes.
Yo, anyway, them saying this and saying that, but that not trouble me. Hot girl a kiss and a caress and all a cuddle me. Girl a fear to them friend, them a fi bubble me. One polish and shine, dribble and juggle me. Woman no give dizzy for power, now shower me. Woman now wear something fi try lower me. That now go record and no be a girl tower me. Woman now me shield so them care overpower me.
Everybody talking about you.
Everybody do.
Know what it is to do.
Yeah, yeah.
Spend a little time with you.
Saga, saga, saga. On the girls them way, bad man now go stray, now go bother me the way, way now the lay lay. Keep on making music to make my fans rock away. Into the wall of fame, I walk down Broadway. Up on me straight time, me take a girls on the day, go.
Gotta get you, wanna have you over here close to me.
Where?
You're standing holding hands and dancing the night away.
No.
Just ingenuity rocking, going on a dance with me.
No.
You and me taking it easy, that's how it should
come on.
Be. Gotta get you, wanna have you over here close to
anyway.
Me.
Anyway.
Black History Month edition, we'll take a look at the monstrosity of the slave trade. Our guests will be Professor John Henry Clark and Professor Leonard Jeffries. We'll get started in a moment. It is. The slave trade, where can it really, its origins really be traced when it comes to that which was exacted upon the Africans?
You have to make a clear separation between the Atlantic slave trade. The Arab slave trade that came 600 years before the Atlantic slave trade, biblical slave trade, and the fact that at first there was no word for slaves because no one had ever been one. Yet through most of human existence there have been forms of servitude, forms of indentured servitude that cannot be compared with the Atlantic slave trade. That was a form of chattel slavery as against indentured servitude. You have to look deep in the human family and identify that weakness in most people that make them arrive at the conclusion that someone else is supposed to do their work.
Mm-hmm.
Once we look at this, we look at the Atlantic slave trade, the most monstrous of all slave trades in history, and the greatest single holocaust against any people in human history. Then we will look at, we will see the others in greater perspective. When we look at the slave trade in the United States, you have to take into consideration a major factor that has not been taken into consideration, that for the first 100 years, it was a form of indentured servitude as against chattel slavery. Look at the economic reason that made indentured servitude be transformed into chattel slavery.
But on the Arab slave trade, just what was that about and how was it exacted?
The Arab slave trade was in East Africa mainly. And after the Africans had a basic rule about foreigners coming inland, but the Arab moved down the coast of East Africa,
mm-hmm.
ingratiating himself to certain African families, marrying into the family, and converting the rest of the family. And after two generations, the Arabs had created a dark-skinned Arab who could go inland and facilitate the Arab slave trade. But the Arab slave trade, which started soon after the rise of Islam, and actually there was a form of Arab slave trade before the rise of Islam. There's excellent work on it, including East Africa and its invaders, and Johnson's famous work, The Colonization of Africa by Alien Races. The best recent work on the Arab slave trade is Slavery in the Indian Ocean, and UNESCO Documents 2 that can be had at the United Nations bookstore, any comparable bookstore. And most slave trades come out of a rationale in the religion of the people of the enslavers. This is true of slavery in the Hebrew tradition, the Christian tradition, and in the Arab tradition. Every slave trader finds a phase or a rationale in his religion that's proposed to justify the slavery.
Where did the Arab slave trade, where did most of the slaves come from in Africa, and where were they taken to?
The Arab slave trade was mostly from the east coast of Africa, middle and lower and southeast. A lot of the Arab slaves went to Asia.
To Asia?
A lot of them were, the conquerors of India have never trusted local armies because they were conquerors. And if they armed the people they conquered, they might throw them out again. So many times the Africans served as mercenary soldiers in India. In fact, the river Ganges is named after an African general who distinguished himself in India. Many of these Africans who were taken to India as mercenary soldiers became citizens, and some one became governor of Bengal. And all of this is told concisely in Professor Joseph Harris's little book, The African Presence in Asia, which deals more specifically with the African presence in India.
So the Arab slave trade really had nothing to do with the European entrance into the African continent and the Atlantic slave trade.
No, it came later on, but not at first. The end of the Arab slave trade came at the time, not the end of it, but the not a part of it. It came at the time the Portuguese had moved around to East Africa. Remember, the Portuguese and the Spanish led in the slave trade. The British were out of it for almost the first 150 years because the difference of opinion the British had with Catholicism. The favorite politicians around the papacy, the Pope, were the Spanish and the Portuguese, principally the Portuguese. And so they got a head start in the trade. And once the British awakened to the games of being played, they came in furious and mad, and they drove the Portuguese out of the West African slave trade. Eventually, they were expelled from the Congo slave trade, and they moved around to East Africa. Now, a partnership was developed, but with the Portuguese moving up from the south, which is now Mozambique and Zimbabwe, and the Arabs coming from the north. These were the Omani Arabs in the area that is now Kuwait and Oman. The Omani Arabs were the most vicious of all of the Arab slave traders, and they would establish a headquarters at the island of Zanzibar that was the largest slave-holding station in the whole world. But they would form a partnership with the Portuguese, and these slaves would be sent largely to South America, and to the Portuguese areas. Then some would go on the general market. But once the British entered the West African slave trade and became the dominant factor in the slave trade, the British turned this dirty business into a business. They organized it. Territory, just like intelligent gangsters. If you agree not to couple beyond this territory, I'll leave you alone if you don't interfere with my territory. But the British put it on a territorial business and basic agreement that certain people could trade in certain markets.
All right, let me interrupt. We need to take a break. We'll be back with more right after this. What was the rationale, and how many today, young people in particular, wonder how such a great civilization, so many great civilizations in Africa, came to be overwhelmed by the slave trade? How did that process take place?
Well, that, I think, is the heart of the matter, so I'm glad that question is being raised, because the slave trading that impacted on Africa has to be put into its historical context. As Professor Quark is outlining, it was not an activity that impacted only on the African continent. It became an international relationship linking, a tripartite relationship linking Europe with Africa, with the Western Hemisphere. I try to put it in the context of seeing a sweep of history. In the period before the establishment of the transatlantic slave trade, which the European nations were heavily involved in, engineered, conceived, maintained, and sustained. In the years before, Europe was in chaos. That period of time I refer to as Europe being land poor, resource poor, people poor. The bubonic plague had wiped out a good part of the population in the 1300s, 1349-50. The chaos in the Catholic Church was visible in the 1300s. There were two popes, one in Avignon in France, another in Rome. The Crusades had devastated Europe, and the insanity of armies traveling across the so-called Middle East to rescue Jerusalem. Europe was in chaos. In the Sun Belt around the world, there was a flower. There was a golden age. There was a golden age along the west coast of Africa with those nations and civilizations.
Greetings and welcome to the Chef Rob Show. I'm your host, Chef Rob, here at Blog Talk Radio. I played a couple of clips dealing with the slave trades. Trying to go ahead and make a point and a connection that, hey, look, slavery never ended. So I wanted to go ahead and make that point and get that connection of how slavery started and give, you know, one of my favorite scholars, John Henry Clark's opinion, and tie that into a bunch of things today. Because of his sister, Melissa Alexander, has written a book on the news, Jim Crow. She puts it together statistically how there are more blacks in prison today than there were enslaved in 1850 in America. So, and she breaks down a bunch of stuff. And I got a couple other clips I want to be playing a little bit later on. Hey, Brother Pianca, your line is open.
Yeah, what's going on?
Not much, man. How do you feel about that, man? There are more blacks in prison today than there were black men enslaved.
I don't think that's true. I could find out because I got a Negro yearbook that goes back to the early 1900s that have some of those tables in it.
Yeah, you know, but well, looking at the population growth, you know, that thing there, I mean, that can go ahead. It can be true.
No, I don't think that's true. I think you had, well, I could go tell you. I really don't feel like going to that other room getting that damn book. I think it was maybe about 4 million. Ain't no 4 million black men in no prison today. And also, it's different. You know, Constitution, you don't have no... You don't have any rights when you're in prison. But you have
you
human
have
rights.
Right. You didn't have the rights as a slave.
Well, no, you didn't have no rights as a slave, but when you're in prison, you do have human rights that protect
well,
you.
Well, Well, here's my point where I agree with Melissa Alexander. You know, a lot of us shouldn't wind up, you know, a lot of us shouldn't wind up in prison anyway. I mean, the sentences, you got two individuals do a crime, one black, one white. Why is it that black people are getting harsher sentences? I think that's the point I'm trying to make.
Well, that's because it's a white person's rights use blacks as a commodity.
Exactly.
That's the reason why that's like that.
But a lot of us don't see that. We still keep on feeding into this. There's a justice system here. There's something going here come out good about this whole thing. And it's not. It's just getting worse.
Well, you got to have something for them to do other than doing the things that they do. You have white guys stand his ground and killed one black, shot two others. Here in St. Louis, they tried to rob him in the park, 11 o'clock, 11:30 at night, a jogger. What the hell are you gonna get off a jogger with him and another woman?
You know what? That's a good point, man. That's a good point.
And I think he was 20 years old. I think I knew one of them.
Go ahead, bro.
Yeah, they were 20 years old, and I think I knew one of them. You know, they put one had a gun, others had the hoodies on, had their hands in their jackets. White guy shot him up, killed the one with the gun. Then they started running. He shot one in the ass, shot the other one in the neck.
Yeah, because ain't nobody jogging with a whole bunch of cash on. Right? That does make sense. You know, I don't see nobody running through the park. No, you know, $2,000-$5,000 on them. That don't make no sense. Hey, Brother Pablo, your line is open. Pop? Yeah, let me play this clip real quick. It's a debate.
Oh, yeah. Peace to you, brothers. Peace. I know
okay,
you guys are on offline. We don't need to deal with all these clips, brother. We can discuss slavery and that.
Oh, no, no, they're relevant, nah, brother. They're relevant. You know why they're relevant? Because this one clip is from one of these white Tea Party, these tea bagger guys, and with this other brother from the Nation of Islam. You got to hear this. You got to. This was a quick one.
Speaking in New York, Holder said it's time to ask fundamental questions about our nation's criminal justice system. So tonight, the Face Off guys address their own question about who should really address this issue of disparity.
Well, Matt, many in this country are angry with the Attorney General Eric Holder for standing up at a convention and telling the truth. He said that there's a problem in America with its criminal justice system when statistics show from the Department of Justice that black men who commit the same crimes as white men get sentenced to prison longer than white men do. But that's not a surprise to any of us. We've always known in this country that racism has been dealt to black men and black people and people of color in the criminal justice system. That's why so many of us protest against it and are angry with it, because only those who have the complexion for the protection get the benefit from the criminal justice system.
You know what? Eric Holder should be in jail. And quite frankly, we'll take a couple of those black adults, those black men that you're complaining about, take one or two of them out. Let's put Eric Holder in jail, because there's a guy that deserves to be in prison. But how do you know? How do you know if a judge is racist or not? You know what, Quanell? If there is a problem, and I wouldn't disagree with you,
there you go. You see what we're dealing with up here? The white man is really what he said. He don't disagree with him, but he disagreed with him. See, they kind
well,
of tell
yeah,
him,
so
he
was,
okay, well, maybe there's a problem, if there's a problem.
But who is he anyway? That man's a commentator. Now, there was a judge that was sending black boys to prison, and he got sent to jail himself.
There's a few of them, and they busted them red-handed doing that. And some of them ain't nothing really happened to him. It's a bunch of them that's been doing that. But you got people that supporting what he's doing. That's how George Zimmerman got off. Because there's people in the community supporting what they're doing. They're supporting that George Zimmerman shot this young nigga. Get my point?
It was cash for kids. Scandal.
I mean, they keep on doing
Pennsylvania
it.
Judge.
Yes, that Pennsylvania judge. It was two of them in Pennsylvania. Hey, Poppy, don't they do the same thing in the UK? Huh? You there?
I don't know where he went to.
Can you hear me, brother? Sir, I keep on muting myself. Go on.
I was saying that don't they do the same thing in the UK? When they go ahead and they send them brothers to jail, when they go ahead and they arrest them, first off, pull them off the street, racial profiling, then they go ahead and they send them through the whole gamut, they convict them, and don't they get harsher sentences over there?
It depends, isn't it? It depends. If they don't say... Say, for example, they want to lie all the way through. You know, they get a shorter sentence if they say they're guilty. But if they want to lie all the way through the case mm-hmm. and then they found out that they're not guilty, they are guilty, and they're saying that they're not guilty, then, you know, just out of the fool, the same as American law. But, I mean, it's nothing like, you know, I mean, obviously black folks get harsh crimes, you know, harsh treatment, you know, with the racial profiling. I mean, that's always... you know, prevalent, whether a black person, I mean, they do it from a very young age. They make black folks hate the police out here. Because I remember when I was younger, I was getting stopped when I was 9-year-old. They were stopping me. Up until when I hit about, say, 25, 24, all of a sudden I stopped getting stopped. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
They don't stop me. When they know that you're a big man, or they can sense that, you know, He's not like the rest. He's not like you. And I think it's the way Negroes dress. We have to blame ourselves at this point for why we get racially profiled, because the devil's put out an image that he wants us to be.
Wait, how much we got to blame ourselves for? I mean, you just can't go ahead and be who you
want to
be.
We buy into that. We know the programming. I'm just trying to say, we know the programming. We know it's not right to go out there calling our women bitches. We know it ain't right to go out there and sell drugs.
Hey, but Papa, they're not pulling you over what you say. They're pulling you over for what you
say. I'm just trying to
say what's on the outside.
I'm saying that we niggas make it easy for them to profile. We make it easy for the devil to profile.
You're talking about, okay, now here's something else. Now, you're talking about a younger group. What about an older individual? You know, hey, they go here, they pull over people that's 67 years old, 70 years old, and go ahead and go through all this shit fucking with them. So that's what you're saying. You're saying somebody younger group, but what is somebody in that age bracket? They shouldn't be no... Go ahead.
It does happen, brother. It does happen occasionally. I'm just talking, it does happen where they do go out there mindlessly just beating up Negroes, you know, older people. There was a woman, a 50-year-old woman, who got arrested by the police. They were trying to deport her. But because she was putting up so much of a fight, you know what the police did? They took sellotape and put it round her mouth. When she went to the hospital... But by the time they took her to the station, she died through suffocation. And they even put the sellotape on her nose. I mean, what kind of craziness is that? Just keep her quiet. They went and put duct tape around her mouth and killed her. Ain't no police inquiry. Ain't no one looking into that. You understand?
Yeah,
and that, you know,
ain't nobody really gonna look, because it's right now it should be classified as an international hate crime, because they're doing it all over the place, I think.
Do you know how many black men out here?
Yeah, but ain't no such thing as no international hate crime.
There's nothing like that. What about going to the head?
Nope.
Going, what is that, the world court? And talking about discrimination. What is it called? I can't remember what it's called.
Britain are smart with it. This is what Britain do. Now, I have a load of friends, you know, and even my father, you know, I mean, I've got family members who used to always, you know, they were fuckery people, but I know Negroes used to fight against these police. So how many of them? If it's 6 of them, 5 of them, they used to fight against them. Older dudes. They fought against the devil many occasions, whereby I heard stories where these individuals, when they were in their cell, they were saying no, they don't want no. Every time the policeman came, you know, the wardens came, so they were putting up a fight, making weapons in their cell, trying to fight a war against the whole police in their cell. What they did, any time you go and fight back against the police, they drug you up. Everybody I know that has fought against the police, they end
up...
Wait,
they give you drugs over there? They drug you up?
They think that you're crazy. If you fight against the police in the UK, they will say that you're mad, or you got schizophrenia. Everybody I know that's fought against the police, they said that they're in mental health right now. Let me tell you what they do even worse are. Now, for these individuals to go to what you said, the human court of rights of court, what the police do, because they know that they've done wrong, they give them reparations. They reparate. I know two individuals they were very high, delve deep into crime, but they used to fight. They were very aggressive when it came down to the police. The devil out here has given them restitution, reparations, where they gave them 20 grand because they identified that this person wasn't mentally ill before they got their hands on him. So what the devil's done is given them money and given them a whole load of, you know, they get benefits like £130 every week, plus they got £20,000 restitution money, plus they get free housing on top of it. The devil's already covered it out here in the UK. I don't know how it goes in the United States, but that's what the devil does out here in the United Kingdom. So if I go and fight against the police, they immediately say they're going to put me on drugs, instantly. Anyone who fights, if you fight against these police out here, they're going to say that you're crazy. They identify you being mentally.
So, okay, that was physical altercation. So if you go ahead and yelling at them, so would they go ahead and call you crazy too? You going to lock you up too?
You fighting with your fist, you fight against them, they're going to come down heavy on you. Like the last time I got stopped by police, they came to my house when I was younger. Because of my dad's previous record, they came down hard on me. They had two bands coming for me. You understand? So I didn't put up no fight. But they were just waiting. They were thinking that he's going to put up a fight because of my father's history of it. You understand? Mm. This is what they... In 2000,
so, you know, they got a record of who you are and where you come from. That's the same thing here. That's one of the things here. You know what? Hold on. Hey, Pianchi, that case there, that when you're looking at that, the link you put in the chat room, the lady yelling
that's
at that
nettle.
Judge.
Yeah.
The lady yelled at the judge. I think it was her son. He killed himself.
Yeah, that's what the story
says. Yeah, cause I know. I'm familiar with that story. I'm familiar with that. I had checked that out before. But there was also another judge too. But he didn't get as much publicity. It was another one too. They were partners in the whole thing because they were tied to the private prison.
Yep.
Let me run this other little quick one real fast. I want you to think about this little debate real fast.
Kim Kardashian, Lil Wayne, you know why nobody pays attention, Quanell? Because those people, no one's going to listen to. They're entertainers.
Matt, whether you like it or not, the facts present the facts. And the truth is, black men are being sentenced to prison much longer than white men for the same crimes and same criminal backgrounds. At the end of the day, that is racism.
Okay,
Quanell. That's the only thing that's the root of it.
All right. Let's assume you're right. Let's just say you're right. Eric Holder, no one's going to listen to because that guy should be in jail. Kim Kardashian, Lil Wayne, Sharpton, get somebody
Matt,
talking about it that people can believe, Quanell.
No, Matt, see, what you all want.
What is he saying Holder is supposed to be in jail for?
Holder is
immune.
He didn't make no sense.
Prosecutors are immune to any damn thing.
And that's the thing. To go ahead and change the topic, and it gets even worse. The next part gets even worse. But he wants to change the topic and go ahead and throw him. Eric Holder got
you can't prosecute
a
prosecutor. A prosecutor is immune. Hell, the attorney general is more immune than a local prosecutor.
Right. Shit. So I don't understand why you said that Eric Holder need to be arrested, need to be thrown in jail for nothing. Just because he's black. You know, they're in jail because they're black, and this guy's got a position.
Why come they didn't talk about them prosecutors up in Cook County?
Oh man, you don't want to get into that, man. I've tried to find some clips of them, and it's just a bunch of articles. I don't feel like reading them off, man. They're sickening, you know. They've been involved in torture and everything. And even the former mayor here was a fucking prosecutor, man. He was involved in torture and he got off. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous, man. Listen to the rest.
What
of
I'm saying, brother, is that in the time that you're in out there in the United States, y'all should be happy. That this is just showing you that your whole government, the whole of America is falling. You got Al Sharpton out there on the newspaper and on his radio show. You got these Negroes like Juan Williams exposing this Negro, saying that he's working for the best interest of the devil. saying he's getting paid. Out there unless he's getting paid. You got niggas like, what's his name, Terrell? What's his that house nigga, Terrell? That one, Leo Terrell. He's out there talking, exposing these house niggas that you got in power in your system. Don't you understand what this is? And even those niggas are house niggas, the ones you're talking
about.
You
know, because I was about to say it's that. Like, it's the house niggas that been getting in a fight over the spoils, man. Listen to the rest of this. Listen to the rest of it.
It's some pacified, sissified, homogenized, overfried Negro leader to say what you all want to say about the subject matter so you all are not threatened. At the end of the day, black leaders should stand up, Hispanic leaders and white leaders who believe in God and the truth.
Let me tell you something.
And tell America this is wrong.
You don't threaten
you don't
me.
Sentence black
I
men longer
don't listen to
because
you because
they're strictly
you
black.
At me. You can threaten me all you want,
threaten
John L.X.
You.
And it's not going to make me pay attention to you.
Let me tell you,
you
something.
You want
to threaten
me?
White men are being sentenced less than black men. Those are the facts. Let's do something about it.
Okay.
That's the bottom line.
Okay. Then get somebody to stand up that I can listen to other than Eric Holder, Kim Kardashian, and Lil Wayne.
We are not going to allow you conservative Tea Party members to tell our community who should speak for our community. At the end of the day, everybody should speak the facts. And the fact is there's racism in the criminal justice system, and black men are being sentenced disproportionately than white men. Something must change that, whether you like it or not.
Now, y'all hear how you want to keep this, the white dude keep on trying to switch the debate to something else? You know, you're threatening me, and you bring up Kim Kardashian and Lil Wayne, and they got nothing to do with the whole thing here. You know, and he kept saying, you're threatening me. Dude never threatened him at all. You know, this is one way to go ahead. But this is one. What I was looking at, when I was listening to, it, was one way to justify them going ahead and giving harsher sentences. Going ahead and say, well, black men are evil. We need to lock them up. He's throw away the key because they're a menace. And, you know, they're just real violent and they're always angry and all that same old bullshit. That's what I was getting from that video.
Well, this is the thing. Even the same man that's talking that, he's a house nigga. He's on the TV trying to take you back into the system. The same man that's talking up against these people is the same man, even that one who's talking for the good of black people, the same one who wants to put you back in the system. Because if he gets his way, he wants to vote. Them niggas want to vote. Any Negro wants to vote wants to bring you back in the devil's system. And that keeps this beast going. You don't need to get out of this beast. You don't need to... Any Negro that's telling you to vote, I don't give a shit if they don't know what they're doing or not, and he's doing the best, he's doing the devil's work. Anyone who votes, you're doing the devil's work. If they don't know that.
He was a Nation of Islam dude.
They don't. Yeah, but these Nation of Islam have lost it. This is under Luisha.
Who is
under, that? Under Elijah, everything was cool. But now under Luisha Farrakhan, everything's gone to squat. He's dealing with L. Ron Hubbard, Scientology. So it's already finished because Elijah Muhammad would never have done that. Remember, he's the founder of that teaching.
Where
and the
is,
white man is a goddamn devil.
Where are them guys that want to have their own land over there? I bet I haven't seen Mr. Height in a long time. These Arab Springs and this last deal in Kenya probably changed people's mind on that.
Yeah. You know what? I'm going to bring that up.
How are you going to protect yourself from something like that? Hell, the governments can't even protect themselves.
Right. I'd have been over there, Bob, man. I know what's happening over there. I'd have been to both of them. I'd have been a Somali air in Kenya. And I was like, ooh, shit. Yeah, this is rough. How would you protect yourself, man?
You understand the government's the one that caused all the trouble. So, you know.
Yeah, but see, I think the government caused a whole lot of it. And see, one thing about us, you know, what's weakening us a whole lot is that prison stuff. We ain't standing up for ourselves at all.
We ain't standing up. You know, the main problem with us Negroes, we don't look after our women. And we don't know how to discipline our kids. And that's the reason why we're in the shit that we're in. We don't know. That's the main thing. We're not protecting our women, and we ain't protecting. We're not getting no respect. We don't know how to discipline. We're not disciplining our children. Our children have no respect for us. None. That's the reason why we're in the shit that we're in. And it's only men who who's going to have to change anything. Because remember, this is a white man's system. I don't want to hear no black woman is God, but you can't protect her. That's some bullshit. These niggas want to stand up behind the woman and let the woman lead while you stand up behind her and cheerlead like a damn idiot. Come on, man. That's the reason why niggas are in the situation they're in. And I'll say this, Negroes in America are the worstest culprits of this shit. Sorry to say that. You don't protect your women. You've got your women walking up and down on the streets half naked. When your woman gets beat up, you ain't doing nothing. When men are putting their hands on her, yeah, you ain't saying nothing. And your men are walking around like homosexuals. And they're bringing this, they're spreading this culture all over the world.
I saw some stuff today where here a whole bunch of cats, I'm sorry to say, but there's some cats coming out of the UK that's going ahead and making hookers out of women, coming into Africa and bringing women out of Africa and spreading them around to white men in Europe. I mean, they just talked about a group of guys from the UK, spent time in the UK and Nigeria, bringing Nigerian women from there and going ahead and selling them to the Belgians and to the Arabs.
I agree with you, brother. And here,
and it was 60% of the prostitutes walking around Belgium were from Nigeria.
Of course. Well, the Nigerians go Italy to prostitute to sell their ass, and they go all over Europe, Greece, Spain to sell their ass. But let me tell you this. The other day, I saw a brother, and he was manicuring, you know? He's talking about how he gets pedicures and manicures. And I said, bro, that's some faggot shit. And he's him, what are you talking about? This is the fashion. All the niggas, all the Negroes in America getting manicures and pedicures. So you lot started this culture of homosexuality within the males on a widespread, even though it was the devil who coerced you into doing it. I ain't going to deny that. But you are under this programming hard, and it just spread all over the world. Because remember, the American media machine is the biggest on this planet. That's all America deal with is entertainment. That's all they're about, entertainment. The most richest black Negroes are in America, but they're all entertainers. The whole lot of them, most of them, the majority of them are entertainers. Crazy. And half niggas, you've been educated by this damn goddamn devil.
I can't really dispute that a whole lot. But there's still some other brothers who go here and made their money without being in entertainment. Still a lot. I think what it is what you see is most of those entertainers, and I think that thing's kind of one sided. That there is a lot of brothers and sisters out here who made their money without being in entertainment. You know, they don't get as much publicity. They're not, the lights not shined on them as much. It's all the tap dancers and bootlickers. They're always getting the spotlight.
Well, it's like this, brother. It's like you saying to a lawyer, I want a world with no criminality, just righteous world. A lawyer, attorney, or a judge don't have no place on the planet with righteousness. See, the entertainer, these guys ain't got no creativity. The only creativity they have is destruction. A creative destruction.
No, wait, hold on. These guys got a lot of creativity. But they go ahead, see, at one point when they were a little bit more independent, you know, they had a little bit more control over their stuff. And when they had a serious black power movement leading up to the Million Man March, there was some real positive stuff going on. It's a lot of individuals who wanted to make that money. They didn't pay attention to what that money would go ahead and do to them.
I used to rap when I was younger, right? And, you know, it's much easier to write a lyric or a tune with violence and guns and talking about killing niggas and calling our women bitches.
Yeah, because that's them.
It's work for me to make a
constructive change. Pushing it to the limits, pushing it to the edge, sales.
You see? So, I know it sells, but it's easy. Most of these niggas, they can't put together a constructive tune if they save their life. It's very hard. It's not
hard. And you know, one of the things, because they dangle that money in front of them, and you go ahead and you broke and you ain't never had, you want to get out of what you're going through, that money go ahead and grabs them. And it grabs him and drags him through the fucking mud, and they don't seem to realize that. But early on, that's why they like to give a lot of young cats who ain't got a lot of guidance. That's what you see. A lot of these young cats, they don't have a lot of guidance. They don't have no mentors. They don't have nobody to go ahead and really go ahead and tell you, hell no, step to them, hell no, that's wrong. That's what we think.
Well, you go off in about another 15 minutes, man. I'm getting ready to go to sleep. I'm wore out.
Go ahead,
all right, then, Philip. Peace. Hey,
I'll see y'all later.
Alright.
Peace. This is the thing with our people, right? We're stuck. They're not well traveled. The so called Negro of America, they're not well traveled. So they talk a lot of shit. And when I say this, is that the same things that you see the music now, the way that we call our women bitches, whores, yeah? And we're talking about we'll kill a nigger in a week or two. You know, that's how they talk on their tunes. Another race of people will never do that. The Japanese wouldn't accept them type of lyrics. The Chinese
wouldn't accept them lyrics. The white guy speaking.
Eminem can't sit down and talk them lyrics, how he'll kill a honky, or how he'll kill a white bitch. He don't talk like that. You understand?
Yeah.
But when he's talking about bitches, he's talking about black women. He ain't talking about no white woman.
Right.
Don't let the music video fool you. When he's saying bitch, he means black woman.
He did make that one where he made some comments, you know, he was talking about his baby's mama. You sure?
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like our people don't see that. If we can see that other races of people don't do it, then, and especially America's a melting pot. The Arab man don't let his woman roam up and down in short skirts and them way there. They're brutes. They're tyrants with their women. But they got control over their women. Their women don't do the unseemly things that our women do. White women don't do the unseemly dumb shit that the black woman does. You understand? I'm talking about the majority of women. I'm talking about every black woman. I know some of the sisters might get angry. I'm talking about a majority of what the black women do is bullshit, especially on the TV. You understand? We will sell out our children for money.
It was a sister I was talking to a little while ago, and she's from Jamaica, right? And she was trying to tell me, hey, look, it ain't too much different over there. And I was like, yeah, I know. But she broke down some other stuff. She said, in fact, that she thinks it's even worse in Jamaica where these guys go in and treat women.
No, I ain't going to doubt that. But remember, again, in I would say that America is probably the most mentally dead. Not physically. I mean, they're going through it the most mentally on this planet. No planet is going through a worse mental destruction of self than the black man in America, because it's so well done the way the devil's done it to you, like in America. You lot are killing yourselves and causing self harm. But by the way, you lot dealing. You lot got cross country pimping. I watched a pimping video the other day called Cross Country Pimping. Niggas in America are in Dallas and LA pimping out the sisters and feeling no way about it, you know.
It's
called cross country pimping. What is there's a series of them, 1 to 4. These niggas are talking about pedicures and how I don't gorilla pimp.
Wait a minute, now, I used to get pedicures, man. I mean, shit, they work wonders, goddamn it. I mean, I'm on my seat. They got a few.
You're a cook, bro.
Manicure.
I mean, my shit looking nice. My hands got to be looking nice. Don't get it twisted, though. If I see you cooking, my food, and I see you got big, dirty, long nails, I'm not going to want to eat the food from you. A lot of me knowing about dirt. I know a lot of dirt gets caught under the nails. So you have to have that if you're dealing with food. You're dealing with the preparation of food. That's a serious thing. People could get diseases, sick, anything from your food. So obviously you have to keep well groomed. You understand? Obviously.
Yeah.
I ain't got no problem with that. But these niggas are doing it. They're not handling no food. They're not handling nothing. The only thing they're handling is money. you understand, from these hoes who are out there selling their body. But rather than trying to steer them on the right path, and, you know, the thing is, even with that guy Iceberg Slim, the first pimp, he even knew that he was cross.
He was the one, the first one they glorified, and they made it, you know, one of the first ones they really pretty much glorified, but he wasn't the first.
But even to his end, you know, people buy his earlier books, but even to his end, he knew that he was, I remember him doing a speech on how even the way he was saying that even his lifestyle is cross-revolutionary, you know, it's messing up the revolution, the way he lives his life, the way he's going about it. You understand? So even he started to get some knowledge, some wisdom before his death. And these niggas are still stuck in the old books. Like, these niggas, the same way the devil gives niggas the Malcolm X when he left the Nation of Islam, rather than the one that was inside the Nation of Islam. They like to give you the Malcolm X when he came back from Mecca and said that the white man can shit be reformed if he finds Islam.
But you know what? See, that's something else, even with Martin Luther King. They want to go ahead and give you that soft bullshit Martin Luther King, but they don't give you the stuff that Martin Luther King that made them want to piss them off, that made the reason why they want to kill him. You know, because I got a clip, that one little clip there, and I got a couple others that they wouldn't play. When he's talking about going to Washington and getting his check, almost nobody heard that motherfucker.
In Elijah Muhammad's book, Fall of America, he spoke about having a meeting with Martin Luther the King, and he said, like, immediately after that, after having a meeting with Martin Luther King, Martin Luther King enjoyed every moment being there, and he gave him the truth of the white man being the devil and the black man being God, and even he said yes. But he said, like, about a week later, they must have offered him like $50,000 and, you know, and other things, and, you know, made it hard for him to even leave. Made it hard for him. You know, because they started offering him more things when they realized he went and sat down and had meetings with the great teacher. You know?
See, that's why I mentioned on my show about Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson. You see how they're making money. I mean, like, if they really weren't making no money, how the hell could Jesse Jackson be traveling all over the fucking planet, staying for, you know, days on end, and, you know, that shit don't make no sense. I mean, going to different cities, how much money are you pulling there?
He was in the UK the other day. He was in the UK last year having a debate with KRS-One in London, central London, the rich part of London, on hip-hop being destructive to the nation, him and KRS-One having a debate about it, you know. My queen paid to go and watch that, and it was about £20. So that's good money there, and they had a whole barbecue.
And where did their fucking money go?
Well, obviously it went straight into their pocket, because they ain't helping no people.
They
ain't coming. They're not nation building. They're not nation building. They're just thinking about integrating more niggas into the system. These niggas are going to die a lonely death, boy. Miserable death for this shit.
Oh, man. Fuck them. Here, listen to old girl when she talks about
America,
that black.
Fall.
Hold on. Melissa Alexander is her name.
I discovered that most of what I thought I knew about the criminal justice system was sheer myth. Here are the facts, a few of the facts I uncovered in the course of my work that I describe in the book. More African American adults are under correctional control today, in prison or jail, on probation or parole, than were enslaved in 1850, a decade before the Civil War began. In 2004, more black men were disenfranchised than in 1870, the year the 15th Amendment was ratified, prohibiting laws that deny the right to vote explicitly on the basis of race. Now, of course, during the Jim Crow era, poll taxes and literacy tests operated to keep black folks from the polls. Well, today, felon disenfranchisement laws accomplish what poll taxes and literacy tests ultimately could not. And today, a black child born today has less of a chance of being raised by both parents than a black child born during slavery. Now, this is due in large part to the mass incarceration of black men. There was an interesting article published in The Economist magazine about this not too long ago entitled How the Mass Incarceration of Black Men Harms Black Women. And in the article, it described that the majority of black women in the United States, including about 70% of black professional women, are unmarried, and that this is due largely to the mass incarceration of black men, which takes them out of the dating pool at the years they would be most likely to commit to a partner, to raising a family. But what's worse is that by branding them criminals and felons, they're rendered permanently unemployable in the legal job market for the most part, virtually guaranteeing that most of them will cycle in and out of prison sometime for the rest of their lives. In this way, mass incarceration has decimated black families who default to slavery. Now, in some major urban areas, more than half of working age African Americans of working age have criminal records and are thus subject to legalized discrimination for the rest of their lives. Let me correct that. More than half of working age black men in many urban areas have criminal records and are thus subject to legalized discrimination for the rest of their lives. These men are part of a growing undercast, not class, caste, a group of people defined largely by race who are relegated to a permanent.
Yeah, that shit get real loud. Welcome back to the Chef Rob Show. I'm your host, Shin, on Blog Talk Radio. You know, some one thing she was talking about, when people keep talking about the Civil War being fought for us and doing to free black folks, the one thing that she talked about was there are more black men, there are more blacks that are enslaved today than in 1850. That's 10 years before the Civil War started. So what the fuck was going on? You know, they need to go ahead and what was the real purpose of that Civil War? And I think it had nothing to fucking do, and as I look and research it, it really had nothing to do with going ahead and freeing black folks in America. It had nothing.
That was
absolutely fucking nothing. It was just an excuse for some other shit. It had something to do with money. And that's what I saw. But it had nothing to do with us going ahead and freeing us. And that's something they go ahead try to feed, put in our heads so we can go ahead and feed into that shit so we can keep on protecting this fucking country. That was some bullshit.
Well, what I've read on that situation is that the British, they went inside of America to try and stop the growth of, you know, they wanted control of the United States because they realized that the United States, they wanted to break away and be independent. So when the English went to the United States, this is what happened. When the English went to the United States, even though they had slaves, they were saying any slave that ran away from the plantations in the South would be a free slave if you could get to the North.
Right.
Then George Washington didn't like that shit. So George Washington then said, you know, after a couple of years, you know, of being ignorant, he had to do the same. Do you understand? So really
right.
And truly, the only reason why they had to break that shit up, right, is because of the simple fact that, you know, they would use them as fighting forces. That's what it was. Even when the British came over.
The U.S. still fought a war against the British in 1812.
Yeah,
It was a conflict they went to against the British with over here.
Of course. Well, we know that from when the British went into the United States, they started to arm the Native Americans.
Right.
You understand? We know that as well. So as soon as they came in, they came to even up the odds because they knew that they couldn't just send a whole fleet of British over to the United States to defeat that the devil in America, because remember, their natural serial descendants of serial killers and cannibals and all sorts. You know, they got rid of their unwanted out of the country and sent them to America or Australia. So we got to understand that these are the undesirables and the highest of savages. you know, but the British had to use their mind because he knew that the American savage, he didn't have that. He didn't have enough sense, you know, to see what the play was. You understand? So the, you know, that was about. It, both sides, they needed the army force, and because Britain came in and fucked up the whole dynamic of slavery because of them saying that, well, if you can get away from your slave master in the South, you can come to the North and get free. You can come to New York and you'll be free. Even though they had slaves, the British had slaves in New York. They had slaves. So the American, your George Washington, to counter that, he said, well, if you look, get away from your plantation and you come over here, then you'll be a free slave. So that was what that was all about.
Okay, but see, George Washington was a lot before this, 1850. George Washington was in the 1700s, and prior to the U.S. going ahead and going to war against Britain, the Haitians had go ahead and they had beat the shit out of the French, and the Haitians had also sent over troops over here to help the help George Washington.
Well, we've got
nobody really talks about that part, the Haitian contribution to this fucking place.
Yeah, but we got to understand everything was what the fabrics got messed up from when the British came in. You understand? And they started to, you know, bomb the Native American. That was the first war. It was a build up to the Civil War. It was a build up. You understand? You know, because they had to, the British knew they had to weaken the American devil. You understand? He had to weaken it before he attacks him. That's how he does it. That's how he done Africa. You know, West Africa, the Moors. It was a weakened land. You know, they wouldn't have known to do that again. This is another thing. It was our own. You know, it was the Moors who gave up the whole trade route, everything for slavery. They wouldn't have known what slaves to take, nothing, if it weren't for the Moors. The Moors pointed them into the right direction of everything. Because we've got to remember that. It was the Moors. If you want to look for someone to blame, ultimately it was the damn Moors. The Moors put it in Isabella and Ferdinand to that it was going to be great business to save the blacks, use them as a labor force. It was the damn Moors. You think that when they were going to Africa, they were just taking any black man that they see? That's bullshit. They wanted to take blacksmiths, Freemasons, and agriculturists, people who they knew about plants and stuff. You think that they were just getting stupid-ass Africans, or, you know, how they make you believe, or they were getting the warriors, they were getting the strong. No. They want none of that. Because if they took the strong, they would have that whole ship would have been wouldn't even have got there. So it was trying to get certain types of individuals, mental. And remember, the whole of West Africa was a literate the whole of West Africa was very literate. We were speaking 20 different languages. You understand when they came to us? That's why they made and in that part of West Africa, because the Timbuktu Empire. The Songhai stretched from like Nigeria down to Senegal, down to through Ghana, all those parts. So of West Africa down to Guinea. You understand? It was a big empire. It was all one. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
And
right.
Their biggest commodity was books.
Right.
You understand? That's what it was about: reading and writing, and having discussions on knowledge. These devils and Arabs, they used to go to Timbuktu, to West Africa, to think that they could become teachers. When they came there thinking that they could become teachers, they realized there was so much they didn't know, and they ended up being students.
See, that's why I like going here and listening to Dr. Clark, man. See, I got a few more clips to play Dr. Clark real quick, man. This is a little bit long, so hold on. Dr. Clark, this one here. He's talking about Christopher Columbus.
I'm talking about the world Christopher Columbus did not discover. But I'm talking about what Christopher Columbus set in motion because he set in motion, in his period set in motion, an act of criminality that influences our very life today. It laid the basis for Western racism. It laid the basis for misconceptions about people. It laid the basis for extensive use of organized religion as a rationale for the enslavement of people. It's a reoccurring event in history. And it told us, as if nothing has told us before, that history is never old. Everything that ever happens continues to happen. What we are dealing with now is more than the second rise of Europe. We're dealing with the rise of a concept that is taking hold of the mind of most of the world, and people throughout the world are now fighting to get away from that concept, and a whole lot of people are prisoners to that concept. We're dealing with the reason certain things looked as though they were going to succeed and did not succeed. We're actually dealing with the reason why the African independence explosion did not culminate in independence, why the civil rights movement did not culminate in any civil rights, why the Caribbean Federation did not culminate in any independence from Caribbean states. Independence in name only, flag independence, but actual economic independence, they are more dependent now than they were at the height of colonialism. It's set in motion.
Welcome back to the Chef Rob Show. That guy, brother, was pretty much making my point that we have not changed, we have not progressed, we ain't went no fucking way. And this brother was warning you back then, just like so many others who came before him, what's coming?
Say that again, brother.
That we go ahead and get them earplugs in, don't want to go and pay attention to it. And seem to get lost in the whole fucking shuffle. You understand what I'm saying, Poppy?
There's no doubt about it. You know, because, like I said, I always say, you know, we just train to, you know, see the end of the white way. You know, if he's not saying it, then it ain't true. You know, if he says it, it's true. You see what I'm trying to say? So, you know, we're stuck at this time, because we're not seeing who our enemies are at this time, and that's our own people right now, because the white man ain't got no power. This is why his whole empire, look how much truth is coming to light at this time, at 2013. You know, everything that he does now is a lie, or he set up, like the boy who got his head cut off in London. That's quick, that most people now know that's a bullshit. That was all bullshit. You know, that was all set up. September the 11th, we know that was all bullshit. You know, they did it to themselves because they're losing control. You know, that's why now, when you're losing control now and you want to gain control, you have to make, and you're a liar, yeah, you're an ultimate deceiver. You have to create a problem and then solve it to try and get back favor with the people. Do you understand? And you have to say that they're foreign invaders rather than someone home based. Like you had the Boston bombing. Everyone knows that's bullshit. You see what I'm saying? Even Sandy Hook.
But you think the white folks don't have no power now? Because what, there was something else in that same clip where
folks need to believe. You see, with the devil and
right.
And the lower devil, they have to believe it, because at the end of the day, they're the ones in control. They don't want to believe that their empire is. The majority of them don't want to believe. They're not prepared to believe that.
See, that was something else about that clip, about that white dude when he wanted to go ahead and switch the vibes on the debate to go ahead and show you that they niggas are all evil.
Well, I
niggas
saw,
are all
I saw,
evil, so that's why you say, hey, you threatened me, remember?
Yeah, and I saw one of the Glenn Beck's, he did a show on the first black slave owner. And,
right.
You know, he was doing it on slavery, and he was showing the first black slave owner, who was Anthony Johnson.
Right.
And he was trying to say, well, don't you see, this is a, because he owned a slave, and his slave wanted to leave, but he went to court to get custody of that, you know, because the slave was going to go to another plantation to work and get paid, the devil's one, but the
right.
black slave took him to court so that he could keep him. You could type that in, Anthony Johnson on Wikipedia will come up and you could read about it. And he went to court. Nah, he wants his slave to keep on working for him, and they're trying to say, well, this is when slavery started. But this is the thing, the devil already had indentured slaves that used to come from Europe. So they were already slaving in America before they sent black slaves over anyway. Do you understand?
Yeah.
They were trying
yeah.
to slave the Indians. And the thing is, that was indentured slaves. That was, you know, they were already slaving their own people before we even came. So I don't know, you know, they're trying to go on like, this is a man-made problem. No, this is a white problem. It's a damn devil.
No, I want to go ahead and play a whole, you know, do a show just on some clips on, because Dr. Clark go ahead and breaks that whole thing down. He talks about how the Arabs got involved in it, how the Europeans eventually got involved in it, because the Arabs were doing first, and how these he called them the icebox people, the Europeans, and then he's called them the sandbox people. He called them the Arabs. You know? So he breaks down how they got involved in it.
The Arabs one, right, it was mainly on done on the women. That was a sexual thing. It weren't really like the white slavery where they used us to build their whole damn countries,
right.
You know, and you know, it weren't like that. They weren't using us for those sort of things. You see what I'm trying to say? They were just taking our women. For every one man they would take three women. They were doing things, and they were only looking for the young girls from the age of 5 up to 18. They weren't looking for no old woman. They wanted the young ones, and they were just sexing them out. And they're still doing it to this day.
They're still doing it to this
day.
I know some people call me and tell me about that. There's still people coming up missing. Throughout Kenya and Uganda, so I know quite a few people came up missing. And that's another problem that they were having over in the Sudan. Now, mostly on the east coast of Africa, you see a lot of that happening, and it's beginning to stretch to Mauritania still fighting these bastards, though.
Well, of course. I mean, these are wars that they don't tell us about, you know. And I said the Arabs, and remember the paid Arabs still doing it up to this day. I mean, they still had treaties up to 2006, 2003. They're still the devil was still asking the the Saudi Arabians to stop enslaving black people. This is after three treaties that they done break, and nothing happened to them because they're partners, they're friends with the Europeans. Remember, the Europeans are the ones that made Saudi Arabia, even gave it their name. You understand, from the expeditions of what's his name, Lawrence of Arabia from the UK. The Indians go along with them.
That's why I'm going to go ahead and do that tomorrow. My whole show is going to be about Dr. Clark and what he breaks down about that whole shit. Because he talks about that. And everything you're talking about, he was ripping into it. Because he was talking about how they took this individual and pumped him up and all this other stuff. And he really breaks down how these people got involved into the slave trade. And how they went and took, how they came over to what is called he really gets into, he really don't like that term Middle East, which I agree with him, you know, middle from what. But he talks about how they, after two generations of the Arabs being on the east coast of Africa, how they turned it and made it what it is now, and they were going here doing a whole lot of kidnappings over there on the East Coast, and they were mostly taking little girls, and the little girls were basically to go ahead and have babies with, because a bunch of them were a bunch of homos. They was going ahead and raping boys too.
Because we got to remember, the devil couldn't handle, wouldn't be able to handle the terrain of Africa, because the mosquitoes would have ate them up. They ain't built for Africa, so they couldn't have gone in there with an army and just pulled us out. They had to use our own people against us. And it was mainly our own people who gave us over, handed us over to the devil at the docks, off Ghana, you know, the cabins and, you know, the castles that they had slaves in. It was mainly our own people who went in there and pulled us up. You understand? And like I said, it was the Moors.
Yeah.
The Moors are the cause of all of this. The Moors. And some of them want to say that they're black. And that's what I said. Anyone who's connected themselves with Moors, you're connecting yourselves with traitors. But the way that the Moors carry themselves today, by trying to say they're going to help people with their laws, making people pay thousands of dollars to help them with their case, and then when court date comes, they're nowhere to be found. They don't even pick up their damn phone. And I know a couple of brothers from the United States who've told me they used to deal with the Moorish stuff, and they got locked up. You know,
mm-hmm.
With the case, I said, look, brother, if you get caught with a gun in your car, you're banged to rats. They caught you with the gun in your car. What these Moors are trying to do by trying to help you? They're saying that you're sovereign, so you can get away with that. What kind of thing? The only people who can get away with stuff, the crimes like that, is diplomats. You need to have diplomatic immunity. If you've got diplomatic immunity, you can go from country to country with drugs in your bag and not get searched, or even go through x-ray machines. That's how a lot of these Arabian, Asian diplomats, they bring their harem. What happens, why people know about harems out here, is that a lot of the Arabian diplomats, they come over here and they still got their black sex slave with them, and then they run away when they come to the UK.
So it's legal to do that over there. Ooh, that's crazy.
No, it's legal for any diplomat. No, it's legal for any diplomat can do whatever they want. When you can be a diplomat in America. You can be a diplomat, a British diplomat. You know,
because there's one lady that she's out in California. I read it briefly on how she was brought up, her slaves over, and she was beating the shit out of them over here. She had a couple of Asians, but she had the one African girl, and the one African girl was going ahead and speaking up, and she was really whooping her ass. But they... She got away with going ahead and brutalizing the person. And also, you know, holding somebody against their will.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, brother. What I'm trying to say to you is that when the diplomat comes over, they can bring whoever they want with them. If a diplomat could go with you and 20 with them through to other countries without having to show your passport or anything, once you got that diplomatic immunity. You understand?
Right.
You don't have to show nothing. Like I said, you don't hold no searches, nothing, once you're a diplomat. You don't go through TSA as they do in America. You ain't going to hold no strip search. Your bags don't go through customs or anything. You're a diplomat. You understand? You lay in
your country.
So there ain't no problem. There ain't nothing with that. I mean, that's what it is. Once you've got diplomatic rights, you can do as you like and as you please. You know, you can drive. Really, what these Moors are saying should be telling you, they're acting like they've got diplomatic right to do things. The only person who has the rights that they talk about is a diplomat, whereby, you know, you could probably drive, if you had a car and you had no number plate, yeah, you could probably get away with it if you're a diplomat. I'm not sure, but you probably could. You see what I'm saying? So...
Yeah. Yeah, I know they get away with a whole lot of stuff, you know, pretty much, you know, especially these guys come from Saudi Arabia, them kind of cats get away with a whole lot. Diplomatic community, there's a bunch of, it's been stuff that's been happening here that people have got away with. So how much they get away with over in the UK?
They get away with everything. They get away with it, you know, same way. They get, like I said, a lot of the diplomats, they bring black women over here and they run away from them. A lot of the women, they run away. They had a TV program on it the other day because it was getting so, you know, it's getting known. You see, what I've noticed with the devil, anytime I find out something, the devil ends up putting it on TV. It's actually showing you, haven't you noticed that, like, all right, back in the day, you know, now everyone knows about September the 11th. I saw a documentary the other day on telly where it was talking about September the 11th being a hoax and saying about how they got an explosive expert who's here.
Hey,
to
man,
talk
hold
about
on, hold on. You can't look. When you go ahead, you late with that, man. You should have been going here knowing that September 12th, that September 11th was a hoax. It was a bunch of bullshit.
No, but I'm just trying to...
It didn't take
now.
A rocket scientist
to
go ahead and be
ready,
like, hold on, something ain't adding up, something you don't see.
No, I'm just trying to say it's just an example, you know, because I'm saying for someone else, you know, I knew that maybe, you know, when I watched Fahrenheit 9/11. I don't know when that was released, but that's when I realized. And, but, you know, I thought it was, you know, I didn't know if it was Muslims. I didn't have really much of a... I was young then. That September 11th, so I didn't really, you know, I didn't care for politics and care for anything, so I didn't really know at that time. I wasn't the man that I am now, you know. That was about, what, 11 years ago, so, you know, I was about 19. So I was me seeing that, and I saw it on telly live as well. That's the crazy thing, but I didn't have no thoughts on that at all, really, you know, because I didn't really deal with it. I wasn't the same person, man.
Yeah, it was a bunch of bullshit that day. You know, you had four planes, but two of the planes, they just kind of disappeared off the radar. You know, so it was a bunch of bullshit. So, hold on, Tracy, is that you? Tracy?
Yeah, that's Tracy.
A piece, Sister Tracy.
Hi, Tracy.
A piece. Sister Tracy, you know, I like hearing from Sister Tracy, you know.
Yeah, she got a good grasp of English. I love the way she talks. Hey,
okay.
Tracy, no, I want to ask you about
the song. Want to hear me cuss you out. Okay, well,
you can cuss me out all the time. I feel at home with that. I grew up with that. Don't bother me at all. But it was a story that, I had caught it this morning. I was, you know, like, deleting some emails, but I only read part of it from your Facebook page. And I want you to call in because I want you to go ahead and chime in and tell me, you know, tell me a little bit more about it, because I think I would have done things differently. It said a man in Colombia, I guess he took too much Viagra and his dick was hard for a long time, and he got it cut off.
You stupid.
And that bothered me. I was at work. I'm thinking about that. I was like, ain't no damn way I'm going to get my dick cut off. I swear on everything. I'd have been the best porn star out here. Every woman around here would know my damn name. I wouldn't understand. You know, you're going to get it cut off.
He OD'd on some Viagra. He took too many, and apparently his penis wouldn't go down, and it became painful.
And why is that such a bad thing?
And then he got gangrene.
Oh,
he had an erection for a couple of days, for several, actually. So.
Okay, that part I didn't read. I just saw that he had took the Viagra and then got it cut off. Oh, okay. I didn't read that part.
Whew. No, he OD'd on Viagra. He was trying to impress his new girlfriend. So apparently, if he's 66, his girlfriend must have been 32 or something. And he was trying to show her he still, you know, he still got it. But, him. Yeah, he...
Hey,
he was on them Niagara.
Sister Tracy, what do you think about these? I feel that, you know, we know that the devil ain't got no power in this day in 2030, and I just feel that it's these house niggas are the only ones who are keeping us into this system. Because all of a sudden,
what?
I've seen a lot of Negroes.
Can you repeat that? What did you say? Who didn't have what?
I was saying that the devil don't have no power on this day. And I'm saying it's just all that's left is these niggas. You got niggas who are turning conservative, right? And you got all these niggas who are, you know, still trying to, think, you know, talk around, you know, like, why is America doing this? Why are they doing that? These niggas are half niggas, these ones who are talking about politics still. You understand? I'm saying these are the Negroes that keep us in the system. Because I remember Saw Nigger
up there in New York. What other system will we be in?
We're in the devil's world. You're under you know, Barack Obama, United States jurisdiction,
yeah.
Or government. That's what we're all under. But I'm saying, why are we voting for a system? We're still in the stages of voting in 2013, when this is a government that's never done anything for any of us. You look, that's the vote, to be able to vote, right? In this integrated system, right? If you still ain't learned your lesson from when Malcolm said, if you don't get your rights by what, 1964, you just stop voting. By 1964, you just stop voting. You see what I'm trying to say? And I'm saying any Negro that's still, I'm gonna say this: any Negro that's still talking about voting in 2013 and talking about making a change, if you go and vote for the state or vote for a new governor, is putting you back in the system. In the thought of the system, that means for you want the system to keep on going. This system, let me tell you something, sister. The sooner this system, the American system, is destroyed, the better for black folks.
Okay, so
well,
what
you
should
do, whether
you
vote or not. Oh, God.
Go ahead, Tracy.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry about that. Anyway, if you live in a system. I lost my train of thought. Whether if you vote or not, you live in this system. My problem is when I hear people say this, it's like, I'm like, what? Where do this motherfucker think we live, on Mars or some shit? We live in the United States, so we are a part of the system. We live in the system. I don't vote per se, but I have learned that voting on a smaller scale does more or helps the cities or whatever better than voting on a larger scale, which is, you know, big government.
But this is
voting for a particular alderman, you know, or a particular mayor may help more so than, you know, large scale voting. So I don't understand none of that. I really don't. We live in this system.
Well, I'm gonna say, yeah. Obviously, it don't matter where you go on this planet, you're still gonna be stuck in some sort of devil system. I'm not gonna doubt that. But all I'm saying is that we in this day and age, in 2013, we can see that this whole system is crumbling. You understand? We can see the lies of what the government is telling us every day. You know, they'll be telling us that these people in their country, they're killing innocent people, so they have to go inside there and go and help. But then there's black people in the United States who ain't got adequate food, clothing, and shelter. You understand? You see what I'm trying to say? If they're in a position to go all across the world and build them jets, cost $5 million a pop. They've got maybe 10,000.
They're not over in other countries trying to save that country. They have interest in those countries, and they're trying to maintain the interest that they have in those countries. They don't have any interest in feeding poor children. I mean, it doesn't do anything for them.
But this is the thing. But
children
this is the
being
thing
poor
now.
Is a benefit for rich men. They get the
money. Well, of course, that's what I'm trying to say. This is what I'm trying to say, sister. And another thing, well, then you're saying that they're going over these countries to war, but they don't come back and share their wealth with the people. They don't share it with the black man who built up a United States.
Right.
They don't share it with y'all. Shouldn't they at least share it equally with you? Or even give it at least 25% of America, saying America. They don't give you no say. They give more respect to the immigrant than the black man who's been there since at the same amount of time as the devil, if not longer. But let's just say that everything, we came there from slave ships. And we helped build up that whole country, the whole economic system, the way it is now, was because of the black man, but they still don't give the black man adequate food, clothing, and shelter in 2013. Why the hell are we still voting? That's all I'm saying. We should be trying to take ourselves out of the system as much as, possible.
Well, probably one of the things that she did say, like over here, because I don't know how it is over there, voting with the local stuff, you can go ahead and see some results. Voting at the national level, you know, at the federal level, you pretty much ain't going to see shit that's going to affect you. So,
Like I said,
over here, right, at the local level, you can see some results. You really can see them because a lot of these people, and it depends on what town you live in. If the smaller the town, the more the local elections, shit, in the little town I was living in over here, shit, you can go ahead and see, you can touch these people. Okay, so as I get closer to Chicago, you ain't going to be able to touch them. You're going to be able to go ahead and deal with them motherfuckers. But when, and you can see results in the smaller towns over here.
So the more you're going to start seeing corporations being involved in the voting process.
Right.
So, and the larger, you know, like I said, you know, Chef Rob said, on a national level, the bigger the government becomes, you know, the more you go outside the circle of, you know, the inner circle being, you know, your aldermen, your townships, you're going to find, get the crooks.
Smaller towns, shit, you can go knock on their door. Hey, look, this shit ain't right. Fix this. But you ain't gonna do that. You go to Chicago City. You ain't gonna get no goddamn results. And I'm telling you, that's how it is over here. That's over here. I don't know about over there, but I'm speaking about over here. And that's how it is. In the smaller town, you can knock on the mayor's door. I can't knock on the mayor's door because I live in Chicago. Ain't no way I go knock on the mayor's door because you got all the security, you got all this butt-lickers, and then you got his secretaries, and the secretary got an ass-kisser. And you got a whole lot of layers to get to before you talk to the mayor.
Look. You ain't looking at this on a holistic level, brother.
Okay, break it down to
worse. Hold on. Things have got worse and worse and worse through time. So you could vote for a Negro to be the governor of Chicago, but it don't mean that the crime's going to go down.
I'm telling you, you can see better results in the smaller places. You can see that because they'll do something. One of the things that go ahead and get a lot of people in crime is a lack of education. Okay, the schools ain't teaching you shit. Smaller towns, you put more money into the educating the kids, educating the young people to go ahead and get them into something, put them into a business, and put them into a job. They do that in the smaller towns. In the bigger city, they don't give a fuck because they go ahead, they get more money from the federal government to go ahead and just keep pushing them through school, so they don't teach them shit. So all it is a prison factor. Push them out of school and they try to push them straight into prison. It's different in the bigger cities versus the smaller towns here. I'm trying to tell you. I live in these spots.
Yeah.
It's totally different. Yeah. I understand what you're saying, but that applies toward the bigger cities, like Chicago, like New York, like Philly, like Miami, like Los Angeles. You know, that applies to them.
Yeah, well,
it's too many layers.
I hear what you're saying.
The mayor.
But in most of those little cities, they probably got less jobs than everyone else.
They got some kind of corporation or something that's going on in these areas where, you know, that's one of the reasons they're in these areas. You know, they're going to get tax breaks and tax incentives to go ahead to hire people within the areas. That was why
I bet you
they probably have them over in London and UK, where the, you know, you have some small towns. There's a factory that makes, you know,
right. That was one of the reasons why going ahead setting up prison systems over here, they were tiring everybody in the town, and everybody was supporting the mayor for bringing in the prison system. See, they're bringing some kind of industry, something to the area, and that's what's going ahead and feeding them. That's how they educate the kids. paying for their kids going to college, so their kids ain't got to go through what their parents have to go through. It's different.
Yeah, but this is the thing. Now, even when you're saying that, it doesn't really... I bet you those cities where they're doing that are cities where it's predominantly white anyway. It's not the cities where it's a higher concentration of black folks.
Okay, you know, I'll give you that. Let me go ahead and give you that with that thing with the high concentration of black folks. I understand what you mean with that. I understand where you're going with that. A lot of places with a high concentration of black folks, they had what I just described, okay, and then they try to take that away, and this is where I do agree with you. They've been trying to take that industry away from the boom. Once the blacks move in, you know, almost you can see it in the cities, and they want to go ahead and take that away and go ahead and leave the black folks without. That part I do agree with you on. But that's usually how I do it, and it's not like that for a while. So if you move in just when white folks slowly begin to move out, you can go ahead and accomplish some stuff. Okay? You can get your kids through college and go ahead and do some stuff. I have to go ahead and admit that. You can go ahead and push them and get some things accomplished. But once they go ahead and they try to turn it over to black folks, and ain't that black folks don't have nothing, it's that they pull that white support rug right from under them. They don't go ahead and allow them to do almost shit.
Yeah, and Negroes can't just...
And then what I've noticed is that you have some places that will appoint or put, I say they'll advertise and market an incompetent-ass Negro.
Yeah.
Him, you know, in office to do nothing, because that's what the hell he's doing, like my alderman. Basically, to serve their purposes, he's usually a faggot or something like that. But
This is the thing. Negroes have to move out of places like New York and go to live in Faglanta. Faglanta is a homosexual mecca, one of the homosexual meccas, or the black homosexual mecca of the world.
You know what?
If I bring my son to, and I go and live in Faglanta, there's a good chance, or at least a 50-50 chance, whether my son's going to turn homosexual or not. You understand? 50-50 chance when I send him out there in the schools and I send him out there. I've got friends who go to, who've been to Faglanta, and they said they were too scared to, if they dropped their money, they would rather just leave it on the floor rather than bend over and go and get it, because there was so much, the homosexuality was rampant.
Hold on. I got a new caller. 281-448. Your line is open. State your name. Where you calling from?
Yo, peace. This is Dr. Hawkins, Houston, Texas.
Hey, Dr. Hawkins. Peace. I'm glad you called. I'm just trying to get in touch with you, man.
What? Man, my phone haven't been ringing except for them. Hey, man, yeah, you should definitely holler at me, man. You know, it's been a minute since I've been on the show, but, yeah, man, you should holler at me for real.
Yeah, man, it was quite a few things. I'll get with you a little bit later on, but, you know.
Okay.
The thing about my show was tonight, what did you think about what you heard?
Well, I'll tell you what, man, I think it's a, I think it's a much-needed discussion, you know, about, you know, Jim Crow and, you know, the institution of slavery. I don't know if you remember, but we're opening a hospital here in December, and there were very, very, very few black hospital owners in America. So, you know, this hospital is the first in U.S. history, though, because... It's a totally holistic hospital. Now, the reason I bring that up is simple, because I get resumes from all sorts of people from around the world. And one thing I've noticed is that, I can't water it down. I just got to say it, man.
Let me get you square with what's happening over here when I do my show. If it look like shit, if it smell like shit, then it is shit. Okay? Go ahead, spit it out. Don't water it down. I don't like that. Because, you know, we got to keep it real. Keep it 100. You know, don't be like that with me, man.
Hey, yo, but here's the thing, though, man. I mean, you know, my great-grandmother... I could just hear her saying it right now. I could just hear her saying, don't go there. But you know what? I will. I'll tell you something, man. the thing that I've noticed is that, you know, I get a lot of people, a lot of us, who aren't willing to learn,
mm-hmm.
and who just expect, you know, something. Now, don't get me wrong, you know, the hospital itself is named after hip-hop. It's hip-hop therapeutics, you know. But that doesn't mean that I'm going to hire you just because you're black. Now, if you're black and you're willing to learn, you betcha you got first priority. But the thing that I've noticed is that they put us in, you know, they've enslaved our minds for so long that most of us, you know, we really don't try to free ourselves. It's kind of like, you know, if you take some fleas and you put them in a jar, mm-hmm. and leave them there for 7 days and close the lid and watch those fleas, they'll go to the top of the jar and they'll hit the lid and they'll bounce down, and they'll do that for 7 days trying to escape. Well, after the seventh day, you could take that lid off the jar and the fleas will never leave. They'll keep doing what they were doing. They'll go all the way up to the top where the lid once was, and then they'll go all the way back down to the jar, and they'll keep doing that as if the barrier is still there. Now, what mm-hmm. we got to understand is that we've experienced medical apartheid of the worst degree.
Right.
So these people experimented on us, and they still are.
They
so
still
at some
are.
Point, we got to love ourselves enough to say, you know what? They don't love me anyway over here. You know what? I'm going to go over here, and I'm going to create my own thing over here. I'm going to employ myself. You know, I'm going to find something that I absolutely love to do that the people need, and I'm going to offer the people my services. I'm not going to keep selling my soul. You know, I think that's what we should do personally.
Yeah, you know, I 100% agree. And it's not, you can't, from what we've been through, you can't just rush in on a lot of people, man. You got to go ahead and feed it to them in little bitty spoonfuls here and there, because you rushing in a lot of information on them, they reject it 100%, man. I mean, they going to come out and defend the oppressor as much as they can, and that's what I see.
Yep. That's real talk.
And the people, when you go ahead and you break it down to them, you let them know, hey, this is how you got to this point. And they don't want to accept that. They want to go ahead and reject it. No, that didn't happen. You know, that ain't what I was taught. And it's amazing how individuals go ahead and accept a lot of bullshit instead of want to accept reality.
Man, you know what? That's real talk. As a matter of fact, one of my colleagues and I would talk about this today. You know, he's from West Virginia. And, I mean, he's extremely dark-skinned. He's a lot darker than me. And I mean, there's very few people darker than me. But, you know, he told me a lot about the racism he experiences up there. And, you know, the crazy part is that, you know, I get these cats that'll call me or email me, and they'll basically tell me, you know, that they're a scientist or they're this and they're that. And you know what I mean? And I'm listening to them, and I'm like, okay, well, you know, if you're a scientist and you don't have the language down, I'm not going to believe you. I mean, and I'm not talking their scientists. I'm talking our scientists. You know what I mean? And these brothers don't have the scientists. And instead of saying, well, hey, brother, you know what, man, I can't front. I've always, you know, loved science, you know, didn't have the money to go to school or whatever. Hey, I'm a quick learner. Can you give a brother a job? Instead of saying something like that, They approach me with this spitboxing attitude, you know, lied to me, and all this kind of shit, and you know, it just turns me away, man, because I'm at the point in my life right now where I'm about rebuilding the engine. I'm not trying to deal with any coonery or any of that.
But hold on, Dr. Hawkins. But that's all they know, and that's what I'm. That's one thing that, hey, look, it's a healing process, you know, and it's also on our end too. We got to go ahead and recognize, you know, even when they come to you like that, you got to say, look here, man, I'm gonna go ahead and take this stick and hit you in the head, and we're gonna start this all over again, okay?
Well,
if I hit you in the head, you're gonna go ahead and be thinking about that whack on the stick. So let's not get it wrong again.
Let me ask the brother something, brother, doctor. What do you think of the voting on state level and national level? Do you think them things there work for Negroes? You know, don't you think we should have learned our lesson? I mean, what's your opinion on the voting?
Well, sure, we should have learned our lesson, but, you know, what the brother is saying is true, too. And don't get me wrong, this is something that I do repeatedly. Because one thing I know, and I got to bring my great-grandmother up again, she's 102 years old, man. And she told me when I was getting on my high horse back in 1999, when I really first started realizing that, I mean, people, just how sleep people were, was in 1999. And she told me back then, she said, listen to me, you always got to keep empathy. You always got to keep that in your heart. You got to be true to yourself, because there is something out there bigger than you. And you got to remember that our people had help getting to be so ignorant. And
yeah,
that's right. That's the attitude that I take, man. I mean, our people aren't dumb. I mean, you know, we weren't born like this. I mean, we are facing a system that's well-oiled and geared towards oppressing us at every turn. So absolutely, man, when you look at the state, I mean, medical apartheid just by itself runs deep. Now, you don't even want to talk about the prison industrial complex, because I could tell you about some books that I studied, law books that were written in the early 1500s here in Houston, you know, that was stored at the law library, that when those devils saw that I was reading those books, they took them out and then lied and claimed that they never had them.
Because yeah, these books, talking about,
you know, real talk, man, these books were talking about slaughterhouses for people. They had slaughterhouses for people back in the 1500s and 1600s. Real talk, man, I'm sitting there reading this shit. So if you're dealing with people that would build slaughterhouses for other human beings, I mean, man, there is nothing that they wouldn't do in terms of enslaving your mind. So we got to, you know, I mean, we got to be real with each other 110%.
Mm-hmm. Let me. I got another call in. 404-671. Your line is open. State your name. Where you calling from?
Hi, this is Jackie.
Hey, Jackie, how you doing?
Oh well. The last person I was talking to was just really profound. I like how he said that we had a lot to help getting ignorant. It's. I don't have nothing to say now. I'm sorry. Because that was just, it was just straight to the point. And the thing that trips me out now is...
Are you still there?
No. Nobody wants to learn. Even when you know, like now, you know, my whole main thing is religion. And now where you can find out the lies that's been told to you, people that want to stay in the lies knowing that it's lies. And I just had my cousin come on Facebook. He's seen some of my little atheist posts, and he's going to send me a message talking about why he believes in God. I told him, don't come trying to convert me. I got enough stuff. You know, you need to tell me why you believe, not try and come and convert me. So he tells me, I meant to put that on my wall, not to you. And that's just a bunch of bull. So, not only did we have help becoming ignorant, we are at a stage now where people want to be ignorant because it's comforting.
Yeah. You agree with that, Doctor?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, man, let me say this. I promise, as I say this, even though it's a touchy subject, I'll only take about a minute, and I won't get mushy or sentimental. I promise. I'm just going to be... 1,010% real, no emotionalism. Okay? Here's how it works. Now, what the sister just said is true. Here's how it works on a scientific level and on a psychological and spiritual level. Just take, for example, hypnosis. We know within hypnosis, just say, for example, if you have a person in front of you that you're about to hypnotize, if you hypnotize that person, okay, and then you quickly bring them out of hypnosis, and then you instantly put them back in hypnosis, and then you bring them out of hypnosis, and then you instantly put them back in hypnosis, and you do that 5 or 6 times, the more times you do that, the deeper that person is going to go in trance. So when you first put that person in hypnosis, okay, they may be in a very, very deep trance, but by the 10th time you do that in less than a minute, that person is going to be so freaking far gone, there is nothing that they could do to come out of it. And what we got to understand as a people is that systematically this is what has been done to us. And I'm dead serious. As a therapist on the outside looking in, I see the condition of our people and people worldwide, you know, of all races. But, man, I'm like, holy fuck. I mean, man, this situation is bad.
Can I add something or ask a question, please?
Go ahead.
Okay, now, with that being said, to ease my confusion here, there are some stupid white people running around the planet. There are some stupid Asians running around. Could it be that just some of our people are just stupid and do what white folks do, write them a check and hope they be all right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, yeah.
You know, and because we're trying to, like, save all black people, so to speak, it sounds like. And it's just some, people are people.
Yep, that's right. Look, I'm more like.
You have some stupid folks and some who aren't.
You're right. You know, I'm more like Malcolm X in his later years. Okay, you know, once he realized that, man, you know what? At the core, we're really all the same. But one thing I know for a fact is that you don't have to explain that to black folk. You need to explain that to white folks.
Right.
Okay, you need to explain to them that, you know, they are light at their core. Because you get some of these demons, and they're black demons too, that want to hoard this information. You see what I mean? They totally hide the sciences of the subtle anatomy, you know, from us.
Okay. I mean, this is the sort of mentality that gets us caught up, you know, because we are a righteous people. We weren't born to kill each other the way we're doing right now. It's only because of under the guidance of the devil why we kill each other today, and we call our women bitches and whores on a daily basis, and niggas are dressing like homosexuals. So, you know, that's a learned behavior, the way we are. People ain't people like that. The white man, since he's been on this planet, and he ain't been on this planet for more than 6,000 years, last 2,000 years, his history has been written in blood, bottom line. They know we're the same as them. No one ain't polluted and put the earth is critical. Right now, this earth is in a critical problem because it's pollution, the air is polluted, the water is polluted, the land. Come on, brother.
The fact still remains. Not all white people are like that. Just like not all black folk are scholars. Just like not all black folk are thugs. I mean, this is something I run into all the time. You know, it's like you can't be black and intelligent, you know, in the black community, because if you are, you know, well, damn, he's trying to be white. Like, white folks have a monopoly on intelligence. First of all, there are things about ourselves that we need to change, because unconsciously we are looking at them as gods for the most part, and I'm sick of it. You know what I mean? Because we, you know, you can view someone else as God before you can view yourself as God, then obviously you were programmed on a deep unconscious level. And that's exactly what's been going on. But let's not forget, do you really think black folk, Africans in America, could have won the Civil War by ourselves? Okay? There were white people who taught Harriet Tubman the Underground Railroad system, man. Harriet Tubman didn't build it. Okay? She was taught it. And then at the same time, you had a large slice of white people who would put their lanterns in their room windows, in the living room window or bedroom window or whatever, as a sign for black folk to know that that was a safe haven for runaway slaves. Look how many white folks were murdered back then in Lynch for trying to teach black people how to read and housing runaway slaves. Same thing with the Civil Rights Movement. Look how many were beaten and killed with Martin Luther King. So we can't paint all of them with the wide brush, just like we can't expect them to do the same for us. Now,
you know what I call
40?
Them nowadays? They're called Democrats and Republicans. They're still both. For some reason, I just believe that, yeah, they were helping, but it was for self-interest. You know, it's just like the veil that we have over our faces with this, or over our eyes with the Democratic Party, thinking that they're some, you know, miraculous group of people who are, you know, basically have black folks' backs, when they're basically, you know, part of the same circle or the other half of, you know, the circle, you know, with sharing it with the Republicans is what I'm saying.
No, that's right. You know who explained that best? Mike Tyson. Out of all people, yeah, I know, but Mike Tyson explained it best. You know, shockingly that he dropped that common knowledge, but he did. I mean, it's real talk. You know,
okay,
when
I
want
to hear this. You got to.
What was the quote?
Oh, okay. Well, think about it like this, Mike. According to Mike Tyson, or you could just say Mike. Just Google Mike Tyson explains the history of Democrats and Republicans in boxing, or something of that nature. Now, if you notice in boxing, you have a red corner, and you have a blue corner, right?
Okay.
Now, Mike Tyson was saying the truth. He said that in the very beginning, remember, the white people used to put the slaves up against each other to fight. That's how boxing started. Remember that? Okay. Well, the Republicans and the Democrats were doing the same thing. So, you know, the white folks didn't want to fight each other, so they said, well, hey, look, you put your guy up against my guy. And then when white folks started getting involved in boxing, this is how they started handling their disputes instead of mass bloodshed with the mobs and such. You see what I mean? So what ended up happening?
That's fighting Rome, brother.
You know, what happened was, according to Mike and other historians, you know, was that the Republicans, you know, would pick their slave, you know, their best fighting slave, and put it up against the Democratic fighting slaves, and then they would go at it. And it's still reflected in boxing to this day. Not only do I believe what Tyson had to say, obviously, if anybody knows, it's going to be Tyson. Okay, so, I mean,
Tyson ain't got no sense, man. Tyson's a half nigga. But all the fighting.
Man, come on now, dude. You sound like you from Ireland, my brother. I mean, come on, man. Don't diss Tyson like that, man. I mean, the cat's been through some stuff, man. I mean, look, I know that Tyson has, you know, I mean, Tyson is Tyson. We all know that. But I'm saying, you know, for once, the brothers, he said something real, man. I mean, it caught my attention, and I'm a doctor of three different sciences. So.
Before you go too far on Tyson, back to what you were saying before about, you know, not the white people were trying to keep blacks in slavery. There is no such thing as this peaceful Africa that everybody acts like it happened. The African tribes were fighting and conquering each other before white people came along. And I don't know why people try to portray that Africa was just a world of peace between everybody before white people showed up. It had to be some disunity going on
for them to come and conquer like they did. Let me just answer that, yeah? What I'm trying to say, you had empires in West Africa. The Askia, you had the Songhai Empire. You know, when these empires fought and they took over each other, there was peace after that. They took out the government and they brought new things to them. They weren't enslaving the people like they're doing now. They would marry a rich, one of the kings. If he saw a woman
brother,
that he liked,
you're trying to romanticize that.
It wasn't elitism.
You skipped over the whole part that they fought and took over each other. And
hold
you
on
tried
a minute,
to
hold
romanticize
a minute. I'm going to go over for like another 15 minutes. I want everybody to hold their thought. I always got to play, you know, my great motivational speaker, Jesse Lee Peterson. We got a minute, less than 2 minutes left. Call in. The number is 347-215-5. Here we go, Jesse Lee Peterson.
No, I've often said that thank God for slavery because, you know, had not, then the blacks who were here would have been stuck in Africa. And you see how bad Africa, everybody and mama trying to get out of Africa and come to America. And so God has a way of looking out for folks, and he made it possible by way of slavery to get black folks into this country. But 100% American. Proud of it. I thank God that he saw fit for me to get here. Never mind that you know, we were sold. I mean, my ancestors way back, way yonder when, were sold by Arabs and blacks to white folks and got us here. The white man came and brought us to the greatest country in the world. The ride over was pretty tough, but, you know, it's like riding on a crowded airplane and when you're not in first class. It's a tough ride. But you're happy when you get to your destination. And so the ride was tough over here. The pain for freedom was tough, you know, because in life, if you want to gain something, you got to lose something. No pain, no gain. So it was a tough, the pain was tough, all for the sake of freedom. So I thank God that he got me here, and to show my appreciation to the blacks who suffered as a result of coming here, and the Arabs and blacks who sold us to the white man for going there and getting us and bringing us here, I want to say thanks.
Yep, that was the great Jesse Lee Peterson, everybody. My applause button don't work. I don't know why I keep downloading something different. But what Jesse Lee Peterson is really doing is he's thanking the white man, not thanking God.
Yeah,
think about that.
Oh, man. See, that's the kind of coonery I'm talking about, man. Coonery. I'll just be quiet about it, man.
That's what God to him. That's what they did to us with the religion. They made us see them as gods. That's why you see black people want to emulate what white people do. They want to be like white people all the time because they make white God. White is godly.
And also they pay them. We can't forget that these devils are giving them a fat check as well.
Well, not just that, man. I mean, we got to understand the nature of the programming that we've endured and that we're still enduring. I mean, man, these people, to say, for example, if you look at the history of psychiatry, you cannot, and I mean not, separate it from the history of slavery. Okay, psychiatry as a science was created to study the mind of the slaves and figure out better ways to enslave them on a deeper level. There's no way to separate slavery from psychiatry. So when you have whole sciences, you know, genetics and social order, you know, and things of this nature, you know, whole sciences developed to oppress us, man, the last thing we need to worry about is looking and smelling, you know, like the oppressor. But here's the problem, though, and I'll say this and I'll shut up, okay? You know you are in a bad situation when you start taking on the mind and the look of your oppressor. Just say, for example, how many times have you seen a woman on Facebook or anywhere else that's dressing like a pimp? You know how the pimps dress, you know, with the hat and the suit and all that stuff. And, you know, now the women have these female suits and they have their shirts open like that, collars popped up high and the hat tilted over one eye and all that shit. I mean, really think about that, man. They're taking on the mind of the oppressors, of the pimps, okay, the attitudes, the whole thing. And this is what's been done to us. And the sooner we realize it, the sooner we can emancipate our minds.
I ain't gonna doubt that, you know. But like I said, I think this programming can be broken with a simple teaching: the white man being the devil and the black man being God. It can be destroyed so easily. It doesn't take long, because you ain't gonna know the things that I know, and there's things that you know that I don't know. You understand? It's just how it is. You know, there's not gonna be. You could teach these Negroes about Africa and sciences and all that until they're blue in their face. You understand? It's still not going to change the programming. If anything, that makes a Negro more capitalistic thought when he has a skill that he can help his people with. But you got to understand, when you're helping the people with a skill, it don't pay no money. You understand? So it's going to take righteousness.
No, this brother's wrong. You were wrong,
I
man.
I think that a lot of folks would change their programming if we saw greatness now. You know,
what kind of greatness?
Folks want to go back 12,000 years ago, however long. They want to go back too far.
Truth.
Okay, Tracy, let me, because I know what you're saying.
But what is
people
want to
see
now?
Results
what
and
want to
see some
now?
Positive results. Okay, and I kind of agree with Tracy on that part.
I do too.
I think you can go ahead
and be a long-term thing, brother.
Whatever you build, and go ahead and show it. Hey, look, this is going to benefit the people instead of going ahead and benefiting and fattening your pockets like Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson and Cornel West and the NAACP, Tavis Smiley and a bunch of others. See, I feel that way, and I thought we was on the same page with that, Tracy. But I feel that way, and I think that's the best way to go ahead and get a lot of people to start doing all this ridiculous nonsense and falling behind these morons and show that, hey, look, they lead you off a cliff.
But this is the thing: what is greatness? What is it going to be called?
I have to go ahead. I feel like this. You have to go and show that
enough.
All are great. You have to go ahead and hold on now. Oh, you got to go ahead and show that we all, you put everybody on equal footing. Nobody's better than nobody because we all in this fight together. You can't go ahead and say that, well, that person's great, this person, no. As long as you go ahead and you got these fools going ahead and chasing hand at somebody else that they pretend is better than them, they're going to go ahead and try to be worse than them after that person passes on. I can't deal with that shit, though.
And that's the thing.
You
got
to go ahead, everybody has to be equal footing. It's just like, and I see this, you know, I really feel that, hey, look, it's like you got a lot of infants. You got a lot of children, a lot of young people. When you got young people, I don't think it's good to be towering over them, standing to them, talking to them. You got to come down on that level, and that's what it is with a lot of individuals. You got to go ahead and basically get out of with them and see the same shit with them, so you can go ahead and communicate with them. Because you're fucking up, wasting your time.
It's just
if,
like
man, if we don't get the mind of our youth back. We can hang it up. I don't give a goddamn
That's
what
right.
nobody say. We don't get the mind of the youth, it is
That's
over.
Right.
I don't give a damn
That's
how many
right.
adults know what. I don't give a damn who thinks they're better
That's
than
right.
who or who's smarter than who. I don't give a flying fuck about none of that, and I got 3 doctorates. I don't give a flying fuck about degrees. What I care
That's
about
right.
is
you have to go ahead. You have to go ahead.
That's
you
right.
got to get that. And none
genocide.
Of this stuff
That's
will
right.
happen because, okay, well,
That's
you're
right.
talking about it when that shit going to go
That's
by the wayside. But you have to go ahead and deal with these young people. You have to go ahead, and the brother came on my show last week, was talking about it. Me and him talked about it even since then. But you still have to go ahead and get with these young cats and deal with them. I can't go ahead and tell you, hey, look, don't be out here drinking. I need to go ahead and get a cup and get a glass with you and tell you, hey, look, show you the ills and get drunk with you.
Word
so
up.
You're going to have to see eye to eye with them and get down there and get with right with them and say, hey, look, show them.
That's right. No, I agree.
Get right with
they
them on what the
up.
Shit the fuck
no,
they
no,
like.
No.
The brother's right, man. There's an old saying, to get to the top of the mountain, you got to climb dirt. You can't be sitting up there like you all high and mighty and shit when your people are down in the trenches. You know, down in the dumps, lost their damn job, don't have a place to stay, thinking about doing crack. You know, that don't mean you should get down there and do crack with them, but you should let them know that you've been through struggles too. You got to lead by example. You got to actually be the light, you know, to lead them out of darkness. That's what I'm talking about. And this is exactly what we're doing with Hip Hop Therapeutics. The reason we named the whole hospital, and believe me, I get emails and calls from doctors that are black, white, and everything else asking me why would I name it after hip hop, and the answer to that is simple, because I want to connect the mind of our youth. I want to grab the attention of our youth and take it away from the school to prison pipeline, away from that, and direct it towards the healing arts. I feel that that's what we need to do in order to heal them, because if you don't have your health, you don't have nothing. So that is the starting point. We need to teach them how to eat to live. We need to teach them about proper nutrition, because while our kids are out there drinking and all that shit, Monsanto is building more GMO foods that contain the AIDS virus, that contain the cancer virus. If you don't believe me, Google corn that grows AIDS virus. Okay?
Exactly.
Monsanto patented. They patented a corn that actually grows the AIDS virus, man. You see what I mean? So our kids need to learn about nutrition, or we don't have to worry about the next generation living beyond the age of 30. We don't have to worry about that if we don't teach them now.
I think that we should be trying, everybody's trying to teach grown-ups. Why not teach the grown-ups to teach the children? Like a lot of people want to change the idea of indoctrinated teenagers. I mean,
This is how I see it, just like this. I see it just like when individuals in this country who don't speak English, and they go ahead and they send their kids out, and now the kids come back home, and the kids go ahead and tell the parents, basically, this is how to get along, this is what's going on. And I really think that, hey, look, it's just like the doctor just said, hey, look, if we don't go ahead and deal with these kids, it's a wrap. That's it. You must go ahead and deal with these kids, because a lot of kids come back home, and they influence the parents more than any motherfucking thing. Because a lot of these goddamn parents, they lost their damn self.
Hey, brother, this is it. Let me tell you what it is, yeah? It's a simple thing that can be helped. You understand? But you Negroes keep on trivializing the whole damn thing. Father to son, right? Mother to daughter. Bottom line. Now, the fathers who have no control over their son, someone give him a little help. You understand? Someone go to him and say, look, your son's out of control. If he that wants to see change in his son, we go and help him put his son, deal with his son. Because what I'm trying to say, I keep on trying to tell you. I know I used to be in, hear what I'm saying, I used to be on the streets, so I'll do all that shit, brother. I know youths who do this shit.
But that's later on, Poppy. No, that's later on. Right now, we're in a crisis.
You can't.
That's later on. I could deal with that later on, but right now, that is not going to work. Just like what the sister we're going to have to go ahead and deal with. We try to deal with adults to go ahead and control their kids. They out of control. So the best thing for you to do is basically go ahead and deal with the kids. Believe it or not, it's not easier to deal with the kids than it is the fucking adults. You're going to get more opposition from the adults than you'll get from the kids. Because it ain't going to take much, because they're easily influenced by bullshit. It don't take much.
Brother, exactly. So if you ain't stopping the programming, you got to understand, it's their parents' fault for letting them love the world like that. Because they put on too much MTV. They didn't monitor them when they're watching movies and when they're going out. They let them go out and come back whenever they want. Half of them were in and out of jail, so they never had no time to really be stable fathers. By the time they get out, they've lost all control over their son, and they're sitting down smoking weed with them. And then when they do something fuckeries and they're bringing police in their door, then they want to get angry and want to get ready to
work. Now, wait a minute. Here's the thing, though. I mean, for me, then we started coaching on the ground of bashing the sisters. Because remember, most of the households in America in the black community are single parent. Okay, so let's not get to the point where we're bashing any black women, because black women raised all of us. Okay, so the thing is that we got to start offering services. We got to start offering, different community services to the single household communities. That's what we need
to
do.
Right.
And the men
That's
need
right.
to stop grabbing
That's
the ass right. of the empire and actually be That's men right. again. That's the problem. Let's not put the blame on the women. Let's put it on us.
I remember, exactly. This is what I'm trying to say, and this is the thing. I remember when I had a friend, you know, he was a big man. You understand? And like, about 10 years older than me or so. But he's probably about 45 now, you know, a few years back. And his son was out of control. But he didn't know how to deal with his son. But he knew me and my other friends. He knew us. He was telling us in my friend's barbershop. So he ain't got no control. He's out of control. He's bringing police. And he swore at the mum and them way there. And his son's very big, bigger than him. So he's scared of his son. But I said, look, as long as you're giving us the license to go around there and you standing up with us, we'll deal with him. And we deal with him. We dealt with him. We went around there. You know, we didn't even have to put hands on him. He was deep talking to his son. His son was trying to give him mouth. We said, shut your mouth, you know. We showed his son, yo, just give us the word, you know, and we'll deal with him, you know. You see what I'm saying? Son knew that he was serious. So he started humbling his mother. And what, you look, come for me? He said, yeah. If you're going to keep, you're going to disrespect your mother in the house. Yeah. Then something has to be dealt with. Because he asked us, you know, he didn't know what to do. But, you know, I said, you know, brother, we will come down there and come deal with that. Because I don't like to hear that.
they know Boy got to be disrespectful to his mother.
Here's one of the places that we could start at as black men.
It weren't no beef. We didn't put no hands on him or not. Who did we speak to? His father.
Yep, we still have the problem of underemployment. That problem is still there. We're going to have to deal with underemployment. How do we deal with that? Because first of all, if you got a man in the house that's not working, first of all, sooner or later the woman's not going to respect him. If she's the breadwinner. Now, I'm not saying that's like that all the time, but most of the time, the proof is in the pudding. Okay, so what we need to start doing is learning to, let's just say, for example, take advantage of certain aspects of the system, like, for example, RFPs. Most black folk don't even know what an RFP is, but I'll tell you, it stands for Request for Proposal. According to the law, the state... Okay, the state or your county, your city, whatever, has to put out job applications, pretty much is what it is, for things that, you know, that they need. The problem is that since the people don't know about RFPs, the corporations sign up for the RFPs and they take all the jobs and then they end up employing you for something, you know, and giving you pennies for a job, you know, that they're getting paid buku's money to do when we could be doing it ourselves. So what we need to start doing is organizing in our communities, take advantage of the RFPs, get enough money. Okay, we need to put our own institutions. We need to get to the point to where we could import and export out of this country. What is it that black people are importing and exporting to other countries? Not a damn thing. Okay, so we need to get to the point where we could actually do that. But guess what? The dollar is falling. So what do we do then? We're investing in, listen to me, the reason I'm saying this is because we do stupid shit, like sit outside of the mall for 3 days in a tent and sleeping bag waiting to buy a pair of $200 Jordans when the white folks are buying up all the guns and ammunition. So think about that. We need a new course of action.
Hear this, brother. If you had 100 Negroes, right? Hold on. If you had 100 Negroes and they were all putting in a dollar a day, right? By every month, you could have set up your own business. Every 3 months, you would have another business. Give it 3 years, all of you that will be working and doing for self. 100 people, and you are all putting in a dollar a day.
We stay trying to get jobs. Why are we not making jobs? Why we don't have skills? Why are we not encouraging each other to get some skills so that you can demand for your labor instead of be a wage laborer? Nobody ever talks about that. And the biggest thing they always saying is people taking our jobs. The corporation moves the jobs. That's because you don't own it. If you owned it, they couldn't take it away from you. You are a wage slave. And nobody is telling these people go and get some skills. Number one, stop being dependent on money. That's how they control
us.
Right. They put music out there, and this music doesn't do anything but degrade the women and tell the men basically how to make each other jealous of one another because of their material possessions that they got with dollar bills.
The only thing you're going to be able to do is sell your skill or sell your labor. No, I agree that we need to create our own jobs. Listen, I own two companies. I tell people this all the time. You know, stop being a slave. If you work for somebody
in my eyes, we don't need to create our own jobs. We need to be skilled. I have people that work for me.
I have people that work for me. I don't work for nobody else. Okay, so we're opening a damn hospital. Okay, a hospital with 800 beds. Okay, so I understand this, I get it, but the problem is that you got to actually teach people a trade, and that's why I was saying earlier, we got to get people that are willing to learn and network with them. All those that want to continue to be sheep, look, I'm not worried about them right now. I'm sorry, I don't have time for it.
Brother, you're always gonna need someone who's gonna carry the supply. There will always be jobs. It don't matter if you know what you know. You always have a job like. You always need someone who's going to bring in the shipment. who's going to go and drive to the docks to go and get the chemicals or whatever you need for your hospital and go and get the parts. You're going to need someone who's doing business to making sure that he is priced. You're the doctor, so you can't do everything. You understand? We can make our own toilet paper in the hospital for a start. We can make our own toilet paper. That's the minimum. Make our own towels and clothing in there out of hemp. All we have to do is get a few.
And you know what? If they would actually do some shit like that, I guarantee you we would contract with them in a heartbeat. In a heartbeat. You know, I mean, the hand can't say to the eye, I don't need you. And the eye can't say to the foot, I don't need you. We are all the body. And as soon as we realize that, it's better.
So we don't need to. This is another thing. Why is it, even if we all said, well, we're going to all go back to Africa, we got YouTube. Anything that we need to know, we can just get a pull up a book one time on Google. We can pull up a book on that. The same way these the devil teaches you in a school, all he's doing is teaching you out of a book. So all we have to do is go and read the books and take in the information ourselves. We don't need the devil to tell us we've got a degree and we're certified to do this before we can go out and do it.
Yeah, but come on, let's be real. If you needed surgery done right now, are you going to walk up to Ken on the street? Or are you going to go to Shaniqua? Or are you going to take your ass to the hospital? Let's just be real. We got to be honest about that. We can't just throw skills and certifications out the window. Now, there are certain things that we don't need. Now, I'm not saying that we need them to teach us any damn thing. We need to build our own institutions. Okay, that's where I'm coming from. Let's build our own learning centers. If we're going to do it, let's do it right, not have ass.
No, to live, brother, we don't need to even worry about. But what I'm trying to say, the best doctors, they have no papers from the damn devil. That's the Bushmen of South Africa. They're the best doctors are in South Africa and South America in the jungle. They're living in more indigenous. They're the best doctors on this planet. Most of the medicine comes from out of South American and ancient African tribes, indigenous African tribes. Most of your drugs and everything that you might know about herbal medicine came from the devil's studies from the damn from the ancient.
No, see,
that.
Because first of all, you don't know me. You don't know where I've been. You don't know what I studied. You don't even know if I have 20 inventions or not.
You ain't no ancient bushman. You ain't no ancient bushman.
I don't want to be an ancient bushman either, man. I'm a scientist. I'm more like an ancient scientist than an ancient bushman. Now, bushman is probably your level, but don't put all blacks in the same category, homie. Some of us actually build the pyramids, remember? It wasn't a goddamn bushman that did that. Okay, so if you want to be on that low level, put yourself there and keep yourself there, but don't try to put us down there with you.
Hear what I'm saying.
Are you saying that the Bushmen are low level?
Compared to the builders of the pyramids, you're damn right.
A minute ago you said we all got to come together and interlock.
I still say that. But you got to understand. You got to understand something. Okay, now, to say, for example, who is more important to the people's survival? The doctor that teaches you about nutrition and what plants you can eat and what plants that you should not eat, or the person that actually makes towels? Well, come on, let's be all the way real. We need
the person that's breeding the cow. Because the doctor can tell you all day long what you can eat and can't eat, but if he can't produce no food, what good is it?
Yep, that's exactly right. But here's the thing. Now, what are you producing is the question. People say this all the time, and they're not doing nothing with their lives. So the real question is, what are you doing?
You committed a logical fallacy. You brought up the analogy.
That's my point. Too many of us do that. Too many of us are armchair philosophers. We talk it, but we're not living it. Let's start living it.
You can confuse young adults and adolescents with the things that you're saying. You can confuse them.
Brother, you're a doctor, right? And you've got your hospital in the devil's world. Your whole business, yeah, that you've built up, relies on Negroes getting sick or relies on people getting sick. You ain't making no money.
No, man. You got to ask backwards. You got to ask backwards. You need to look up Higher Science Research Institute, okay? Because we build technologies that have been suppressed for a long time, okay? We teach people how to heal themselves, man, energetically. I risked my life by even lecturing on the subjects of vibrational medicine. Okay, so this is something totally different. We're dealing with technology that could render hospitals obsolete. And this is why hip-hop therapeutics even came into existence, because ultimately we want the kids to take over and teach us, you know, how to live naturally and holistically, and we don't need no damn hospitals. Hospitals haven't always existed on this planet. You know, and it's crazy that we even have to have a goddamn hospital, in my mind. We need to get back to the point to where we don't need any of this bullshit.
Why are you building the hospital?
What do you mean, why am I building it? Because we need it, okay? But what I'm saying is that we can evolve beyond the hospital at some point. We're not there yet. Okay, this hospital is history in the making, honey, because it is the world's first, or should I say the last few thousand years anyway, it is the only holistic hospital on the planet. There are no 100% holistic hospitals on the planet. There are holistic clinics, very large clinics, but there are no hospitals.
We need to be moving away from hospitals. They're moving away, and you're building one.
That's right.
I was going along with everything you were saying until you tried to make yourself seem better than that other brother on the phone. That was just completely
Look, when Hip Hop Therapeutics open, honey, keep going to the white folks for your medicine, okay? Don't even come there. And I'm just being real with you, because what you're saying is bullshit.
Let me address that. If I'm dying, for anybody on this phone right now. If I'm dying and it's somebody that can save me, I could care less what color it is. I just want to be saved.
Okay, well, good for you.
I don't even know why you said
good
that.
For you.
Well, keep dealing with them.
Okay? We're going to do our thing over here. You do your thing over there, and everybody will be happy, okay?
Don't even worry about what we're doing over here. You're better than us because you're starting some hospital. No, you said that, not me.
I didn't even act like that at all, but my problem is simple. Okay, you're talking about what should be and what should not be. Credentials don't mean shit, but you don't have anything. You're talking about what should be started, what haven't been started, and I'm
just
asking you, what have you started?
My brother, just like you told the other guy.
You're doing all that, so you don't have to answer the question.
What are you doing? You don't know me, and you don't know what I got. So why would you even make that statement?
We're giving you a chance to answer. What
I bet you
doing to change the world?
No, sir, you
haven't
a chance to answer anything.
I love you, sir.
Every time I talk, you talk.
I'm a businessman.
That's what I thought.
And I'm on the road. I'm not. I'll be honest. It can get hard sometimes. Being away from the kids, the house, the home cooking, even Roscoe the family dog. But it's the hardest being away from my wife. I miss her laugh, her touch, her smile. But most of all, the smell of her pussy. That's why I choose Rent-A-Pussy. The only car that actually smells like a pussy. Each car smells like a pussy. You choose the degree of pussy smell you want, and they got it. Choose from menstrual, pre-menstrual, sweaty, douche, skanky, and my personal favorite, yeasty. Now those long trips from home won't be so bad. You get the smell of pussy without the body that comes with it. He knows what I'm talking about. Rent-A-Puss. Our cars smell like pussy.
Okay. How we doing, everybody?
I'm all right. I just want to say this. That every time... That's the problem. Like you say, you got a problem with Cornel West and Jesse Jackson and all of that. Once a brother gets some letters and all of that, some accreditations behind him, he wants to start degrading his own people. And that's where we fall apart at, because if you degrade me, I don't give a damn what you're building. you done put me in a position where now you telling me that you are superior to me. And now,
that's right.
Hell no. No, I don't want to be a part of that.
Look, I'm saying that, right, even if you had doctors, you need nurses as well. You need more nurses than you need doctors. Nurses do more healing than the doctor. Because most of the healing comes from not having stress. The nurse does the best part of the healing. All the doctor does is tell you if you're sick or not, and try and administer the treatment. But it's the nurse that gives the, you know, that releases the stress from the patient and goes and gets him the drink and makes sure that, you know, he's got enough fluid and stuff like that. That does the biggest help for the patient. You understand? It's all about the nurse.
Ain't doing much.
Yeah, well, you know, that's what I'm saying, you know. That's what I'm saying. This is the problem. It's all about money, 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 money. I'm trying to say, even if we went to Africa, we won't need... That's it. It's easy to attain the information that he attained. Because all you have to do is read a damn book. That's all. So I don't know why we need all these skills and that if we're going to go and build to do for ourselves, when all we have to do is, if we're prepared to start reading from today for the brothers and sisters who don't read, all you have to do is just pick up a book and look at it, and it will tell you everything that you need to know. Read up about biology, then read up about herbs. You understand? I go to
and we can't be thinking we're better than each other just because we read and our brother didn't.
That's right.
You actually believe that in natural sciences, it only requires a book? You don't need labs? Oh,
sister, hear this, sister.
Have you been
I
to
go
college
to Brixton.
For biology or any of that chemistry?
No, I studied biomedical science. Hold on, I studied biomedical science in school, as a matter of fact. So, you know, everything that he's saying. I went to university, I studied biomedical science. I've got A-levels in physics also. But I didn't finish the degree, though. I left after a couple of years because I couldn't handle the work. You know, it was just, you know, it was mundane to me. I couldn't handle it because it was multiple choice. They started me off with multiple choice, and then they started wanting me to write down everything exact, and I couldn't remember all of that biology. That was too much for my mind to take. I'm not used to revising. See what I'm saying? So, you know, I didn't. But what I'm saying is that there's a herbalist shop here that I go to all the time, and I buy it. They don't tell me what the herbs are good for, but I just buy any of the herbs. I go home, I type in the name of the herbs, it comes up on the computer, and it tells me what and what the properties and what the herbs can and can't do. It's as easy as that. I've got a whole ton of herbs in my house right now. I keep on going there and buying herbs. For that 25p, you can get like 1 ounce for 25 pence of herbs. Ginkgo, bilbo, that's good for the brain. You know, guta, cola, that's good for the brain as well. You see what I'm saying?
I think that it's a lot of the youth that could go into a lot of different fields. Rather, they can study some things that they can study at home and be licensed to do, and there's things that they might have to go to school to do, or a university. They might have to do lab work to learn things. But my thing is piquing the interest in them while they're young.
That's
We growing kids up on hip hop. Now he's making a hip hop hospital.
Hip hop is
nothing but degrading to us. Makes the white people and the top floors of the record executive companies make them rich. And it destroys our neighborhoods, it destroys our families. And we need something else to pique an interest in kids before they get 15, 16, 17, and their dreams is being baby mamas, strippers, and drug dealers, basketball players, and rappers.
Yeah, that's right, sister. Them names there, hip-hop hospital, what kind of... You want to try and entice the youth. Do you think when I come in, oh, it's a hip-hop hospital, let me go there? You know, come on, man. They ain't helping nothing, man. You understand? Like I said, we need to correct these. We need to show these youth another way. And it's citizens, and we can't give them no opportunity. There should be no, we can't.
Okay, my question is, how are you going to stay healthy in a land that white folks claim they own and run?
How do you stay healthy in a land that they own and run? What is how do you stay, listen, sister, if you exercise, right? And eat, hold on. Let me tell you how to sister.
No,
if you exercise, hold on, sister.
They own the water supply. If they want to kill you, they can.
Look, sister,
run everything, and we run our mouth.
All right, sister, as long as you keep your weight.
They control the air.
Listen, sister, as this is all you need, yeah? If you can get some food, if you drink water, plenty of water, you don't eat any meat, and you exercise every day, or as much as your body will allow, right? You won't get sick.
I know about nutrition and health and all that shit.
Okay.
That's
you
not
won't
what
get
I'm
sick.
Saying.
I haven't
I'm
been to the hospital.
If they control the water supply.
What?
If they control the air you're breathing.
Buy a bottled water, sister. You can buy, and you can get filtration. You can buy a filtration unit.
Okay.
And they only cost a couple hundred pounds. Save up your money. Niggas can buy Jordans. I'm sure they can afford
that. Did you say bottled water? They control that.
You can get filtrations for $200, I'm sure. Because you can get them out here for $150 on eBay, right? So if for the same money they're buying the Jordans for, they can easily go out and buy a filtration. But you got to understand, these niggas don't want that. These young
they
niggas don't
want
that. You got to cut off. We can't give them that as an option. Negroes are being too easy with their options. They're saying, well, you know, we understand because we can't give you nothing else. So we understand why you go and sell drugs and you go and sell the sisters to any race of caste of people. Sell out our
now,
sister.
What about the black people who don't wear Jordans?
What?
I don't know anybody who wears Jordans. So what about the black people who don't wear Jordans?
I wear Jordans.
So, all right, the same money that you're spending, they're wasting on, say, takeaway food. If they saved it up for a year, I'm sure they'll be able to afford to buy a filtration unit. That's what I'm trying to say. They've got to give up the ways of eating meat. As long as you're eating meat, all meat's poisoned. All fish is poisoned.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to keep on eating those things, you're messed. And if you follow a diet like mine, I ate meat for about 8 years. You understand? You follow mine, you exercise every day, you're cool. As much as your body, you know, some days I can feel that my legs are going to go, and I just don't train on that day. I won't train. I might train for about a week to let my body recover. But you can feel it. I can feel when my body's going to break, and I've got to stop. You understand? And you sit back and, you know,
mm-hmm.
So you don't need
okay,
any of that.
Now,
that's not me.
On a smaller level, I could see that. But I'm talking about when masses of people start doing this. I'm not talking about you and your friends, a few folks on Facebook, you know, whoever. I'm talking about when the people who you are complaining about, the Air Jordan wear, when they start to do what you say.
It's not just them, sister. It's not just them. Some of the Negroes spend big money on a car. They go out and buy.
And white folks do the same thing.
Wait, what are you saying, Tracy?
They'll buy some expensive hunting boots or whatever the fuck they spend their money on, porn, whatever. But then they will also buy bullets. Why not teach them to buy Jordans? Because you're not going to stop them from buying Jordans. Teach them to buy Jordans and pick up a box of bullets on the way from the Jordan store.
Well, that would be great, but you've got to understand,
the
our people
shit.
In 2000, you've got to understand, sister.
They make
Gucci
for white people.
Yeah, but
they
sister,
what?
In 2003.
So when your sister was thinking that all this bullshit that's out here was created for, you know, black
I
folks.
I wouldn't tell these niggas to buy bullets, sister,
you know.
Because Hey, sister, I wouldn't tell
you
young
pick you up a Gucci
girls,
and pick you up a box of shells.
Sister, it would be a reckless teaching for me to go around telling the youths, when you go home buy your Jordans, go and get bullets. Because I know that if when these police are ready to...
Okay, you're talking about the baby.
Hold on, sister. Hold on, sister. If
the
small when children. You, when these police pull them up now, all these youths get pulled up by the police, they're going to end up killing them. The police will end up killing them if they even think they got a gun on them already. They're going to kill them. So I wouldn't go around.
Okay, so you're talking about, what, 20-year-olds? Is that the age category?
And secondly, sister, in 2013, with the programming that is going on, if you're telling a Negro to go and buy a gun, a young teenager to go and buy a gun and bullets, he's going to end up killing his brother first.
Okay, but see, the thing is, somebody said this about 30 minutes ago. They said that instead of them buying tennis shoes, they're buying, why not buy bullets? Didn't you say that?
Sister, there's plenty Negroes in America that have a gun that was outraged with Trayvon, but they still didn't do nothing. But I'm sure if the sister Shaniqua owed another person $50, and they said that they'll straight out refuse to pay them, they're gonna go their gun to their head and say, "Yo, Shaniqua, you better pay up that money, bitch."
Why she gotta be Shaniqua? Why she can't be Mary?
Okay, well, like I said, I was trying to find out, you know, what age category you're talking about. Because, like I said, I don't know people who wear Jordans.
Carry no guns, sister. I don't want none of the youth to get killed. This devil is armed to the teeth. The only way for us to fight against this devil is unless we had better weapons than them. And we don't have that because we don't build these things. The first thing a Negro does when he gets a gun, if you gave a Negro a bazooka, bomb, he's going to go and bomb some black neighbors. They don't make no sense.
You're contradicting a lot here. Just like they, you know, the other gentleman was.
I ain't contradicting. I'm saying that we need to go with the fathers and their mothers, and if they, you know, they know that they're doing wrong, we have a strong, you know, the men, this is why the men have to deal with this. We as men have to go and help the mothers and fathers that can't control their youth. Because you got to understand, these youth don't want righteousness. So you have to cut off, you can't give them or even sympathize with them for selling drugs and doing wickedness.
First you got to make them able to say they need help. I know, it's a bunch of single mothers that have problems with their kids, but they get on Facebook, they get out in public, and their kids are a student, their kids don't give them no problems, blah, 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 blah. When you know them, you ain't your son in jail. Then you try to rob somebody.
That's right. And once you
know, there's a lot of people that don't want to ask for that help that they need with their kids, and we can see, it's plain to see that single mothers is not doing good in our communities because our communities are wrecked. And there's men in the communities. There's men watching this shit go on.
That's why most families, because I know, black folks who grew up in good families and stuff like my queen, drugs was never an option for her. Going out on the street selling her ass was never an option. But I know other Negroes that I grew up with, drugs and selling pussy and stuff like that was an option, and stealing it was an option. You understand? It was never an option in some black households, but in the majority, that is an option. They don't frown on it.
It's the music.
Don't get away
I'm
with
sorry.
It. No doubt.
I blame it on the music. My brother is watching a YouTube video, Rick Ross, and it was in 2013. The rapper named Rick Ross talking about another rapper, and he's talking about how he sells drugs, how he makes so much money, and this other dude, ain't making nothing, and blah, blah, blah. And I'm thinking to myself, dude, if you was really selling drugs, like you saying your song, common sense and logic of thinking to anybody that's hearing you say this would know that the feds would be all after you. You'll be in jail. We done seen how they done came and took over drug control record labels. But it's still children.
not only children, young adults and old adults too, that follow along with this, and they support it. That's hip hop. Hip hop telling your kids to go kill each other and go sell drugs to people to make kids have no mothers because their mothers are drug addicts. It's hip hop doing this, taking fathers away from kids because they're dying over drugs. They go into jail or they become a drug addict.
So is it the music or is it the mindset of the people? Because you have people who listen to this. You have people who listen to this music who don't do that.
Well, it depends on you.
I think
it's a particular
Tracy, because I realized that this is what the music does, I'm completely turned off from it. But it's people like my other brother. This guy, he didn't grow up like that. He didn't grow up around drugs. He didn't know nothing about what it's like to have to stand outside and sell drugs, to get shot at. He don't know none of that. So he thinks there's nothing wrong with the music. This dude is over 40.
That's right.
It depends on how you've seen it, how it interacted with you. And when you have children that's raised on this, they don't see the illogical things that's going on in the music and how
is it the
detrimental
music
to their downfall?
Or is the music just a tool and it's actually is it something else?
It's a tool.
What did you say? Is it a tool or what?
It's a tool. Like what the sister you just said, sister.
No, I thought she said something else before that.
Yeah, it's a tool from the devil that the devil has given us, which has got a personality the way which they want us to act out, which they're getting right now. You know, that is the mentality they want. They want us to all be like Rick Ross, or want us to strive to be like Rick Ross. That's bottom line. You know,
there's another form of indoctrination, just like religion.
Of course, yes, of course, yes. That's what I'm saying. But I'm saying it's what the white man wants. What the devil wants. He wants us to be like that. Because that's a self-destructing nature. The way they act is self-destructive. That's what they want. Killing niggas, talking like that's just killing ourselves. Self-destructive. Self-harm. You know? The white boy would never have music like that up there. The Arab, none of them races. The Chinese, they look at us and laugh, man. They look at the Negro and laugh. They got so much disdain for ourselves when this white man's out here dicking us down and giving us no grease.
I don't like to go that far because I don't listen to their music that much to make that, to come to that conclusion of, you know, how they talk about each other and their music. But I can see the effects of what it does in our communities, this music that we have. I can see that. So it might be that way, and it might not be that way. I don't see it, though. I don't see white people getting on TV and making videos and swiping white women's asses with credit cards. And I don't see that, but
you
I'm not saying just because I don't see it. It's not. It don't mean it don't go on.
Look,
well,
Australia. Hold on.
You ever heard of Sturgis? It's Sturgis, I think it's South Dakota. Anybody ever heard of that?
No,
the big bikers
I haven't.
The big
in
bikers
countries
thing
like,
is, mostly white bikers go there. And the pictures I've seen coming out of there, I've been seeing coming out of there for years. Oh, they doing that stuff in the videos and then some. Okay? Black people, what black people doing, they just go ahead and try to make the case that black people so horrible, so terrible, so fucked up. Is that look at what they're doing, and they give it the spotlight. They put all kinds of angles, camera angles, and they keep showing so much, but they don't show the shit the white folks do. Okay, we are under that microscope, and they go ahead and scrutinize
anything. What do you mean? I don't.
A radio station or any type of publication or telecom, and company or whatever, any media. Why would I do that? Why would I, make my family look bad? Why would I do that?
Why do they do it?
Well, white folks do it.
No, what I'm saying
is
they don't do it. they'll put us on Front Street because we allow it.
Wait a minute, Tracy.
You know what?
Wait, me and my brother,
we've talked about this. Well, it's like early in the morning. I don't know if they have this where you live at, but like early in the morning here, they have these shows that come on, like Ricky Smalley and this other one that they had come on, and they try to talk about issues that face the black community and stuff like that, and then they play this hoe popping, booty shaking, kill your brother music right after they do this stuff.
And then we put on a dress and a wig and play somebody's grandmother.
We was talking about this, like, why do they, and if people are driving to work, they might be driving their kids to school, and they listening to these songs, like, it's that one song, it always stick in my head. It sounds like a nursery rhyme. And it's a rap song. It sounds like a nursery rhyme, but it's basically talking about get up on the floor, get up on the bed, and doing it. Kids are singing this. They singing about sex. You playing this. You're supposed to be some motivational speaker for black people. You want to do so much in the black community, but this is what you play in the morning knowing that kids is listening. And, Tracy, you make a good point. That radio station ain't owned by no white people. I mean,
no
black people.
I don't think it's not too many of them that's in America that's owned by blacks. They all own, majority of them owned by Clear Channel. And Clear Channel has got a Christian base. They got a Christian nonprofit thing going. That's how they got a lot of religious channels owned by Clear Channel. You know, Clear Channel's got his hand in all that, and they come out of Texas. They got a whole lot of bullshit going on, and it was by design to go ahead and blab about the black radio stations, because at one point when you had them playing the conscious hip hop music, that's when they started going after the radio stations then to stop that shit. That was done by design. That wasn't by no accident.
They do not play that stuff on their stations. Last summer, I started listening to pop music. So I started listening to the white station so I can hear a little pop songs that I like. They do not play that stuff on their radio stations. In the morning, they barely play music in the morning on their radio stations. It's all fun, games, and talking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. Hey, everybody, that's my show. I'm going to have to go ahead and end this kind of quick because I got some obligation here a little bit later on. I'm glad everybody showed out. This has been This has been interesting. It was a lot of fun. I was laughing my ass off most of the time. And I let y'all go at it.
You wrong. You wrong. Don't be sitting by laughing.
When it was getting too much, that's why I had to play that crazy-ass commercial. So, I'm glad y'all showed up, and I'm going to do this again tomorrow, so I got another topic I want to spring on you a little bit late, but I'm glad everybody showed up. Thanks for coming out. That's my show.
Peace,
I'll see y'all tomorrow.
Peace to everyone. Peace to the sisters on the line. And peace to
you,
brother.
Peace to you, my brother.
Peace.
You got to do
I'm Sakari only. You know the girl them seen in Pori only.
Right,
up to the time. Round to the hour. But look, they ain't got girls like mine. The girl goes up. It's sweet to the belly. Squeeze up the breast like jelly. Don't tell it. She sing like Kelly. You know I'm no man, I'm mad like I tell it. The girl run with belly. Take it from me. In a hall, she plays from the bed, but free and a child. And that you need to go for yard, but she feel like it's something where she have a no fear. She say, all is fear in love and war. Warriors and love in here, bring cut and scar. But she loves it anyway. She loves it when you play, drop the fire in a heart. She say, it's sweet to the belly, sweet up the breast like jelly. Don't tell it. She sing like Kelly. She know I'm no man, I'm like I tell it. She don't run. I'm
Her kiss is like a bomb.